day two. You say, here on this May 30th, 2024 transmission for the InfoWars War Room. Brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com, your election headquarters, with 159 days till the presidential election. Now, I'm listening to all the commentary all day on what's going on, what's leading into the now 11th hour of deliberations. And the more you hear, it's just the more insane it gets. You can't even believe that it's that corrupt. But it is. There is no case. There was no case. And the judge is doing everything he can to try to sway the jury and get an anti-Trump result. And then you look into the judge with his family getting millions, hundreds of millions of dollars from the Democrats, and even specifically the Biden-Harris team. Now, there's other news going on against Trump as well. And I'm surprised they don't have it on the front page there. But did you know Donald Trump said the N-word? Yeah, he said the N-word. Ooh. Ah. Ooh. Ah. 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 Oh, my God. Oh. Yeah, the N-word. So, it's just ridiculous at this point. And you've got hundreds of stories, and they're pushing it into your newsfeed. Trump said the N-word during an episode of The Apprentice. So they got other attacks they're going after him on. And I think maybe we get an idea of why they're going after Judge Alito so much with the decision on Trump's immunity to be coming down soon. Maybe that's a form of Democrat terrorism and intimidation. Oh, he had a flag, and we're going to make him comment. So now Alito has to come out and make the response. My wife puts up the flags, whatever. I don't know what's going on. I didn't put up the flags. My wife takes care of the house. She put up the flags. Okay. Oh, no. No, 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 no. And it's the appeal to heaven flag. But this story gets even crazier. Because the appeal to heaven flag is, there's nothing seditious about that. There's no intent there. And then they found out that the appeal to heaven flag had been flying at government buildings. Oops. And so they rushed to take it down. So we got all that going on. How are the Democrats going to get Biden on the ballot in Ohio? They figured that out. So we got that news for you as well. Because they kind of screwed the pooch. And you start to look at how the Democrat Party is operating, and I think that maybe we give them too much credit at times. Maybe we give the Democrat Party too much credit at times, thinking it's a well-oiled machine behind the scenes, this Democrat Party, as it has been in the past. I mean, they are committed to corruption and deception. We're not going to be confused on that, but not even able to get your timing right for the convention so that you can qualify for the ballot in Ohio. And now they're going to have to pull a cheap trick to get him to qualify. You know, maybe this Democrat Party ain't the well-oiled machine that we thought it was. You look at the people running it, maybe it makes sense. So we're going to hear from Trump, though, when we come back, and then some other news from outside the courtroom.
Your cardiovascular system is under attack. Everybody knows it. I've got in my hands two products that are absolutely insane when it comes to what they do for your body and your overall health. One of them is the highest grade fish oil you can find. Everybody knows how good fish oil is. This is as good as it gets. And when you purchase it at InfoWarsStore.com, you support the broadcast of 360 Win. And then, of course, Nitric Boost. You've heard all the rage about this. A whole bunch of concentrated natural compounds that clean out your blood and clean out your cardiovascular system. Everybody should be taking both of these products at InfoWarsStore.com. And both of them, by the way, are 40% off for a limited time. Now, this sale's going to end in about 2 weeks because we've already sold out of more than half of these products since they came back in. But if you want to get Ultimate Fish Oil and Nitric Boost for 40% off, get them both today at InfoWarsStore.com. I want to thank you all for supporting the broadcast. I want to thank you all for spreading the word, because without you, we are nothing.
In the darkness of censorship, Owen Schroyer is the light. This is the War Room. Watch it live right now at AmericanElection.news.
The jury has now been in deliberation for more than 11 hours. People think that this is a sign of good news for Trump. And I would say that that's probably true, except that the judge has tried to change the rules so that even if they don't have the unanimous guilty from the jury, the judge basically changes the rules and says, well, I'll just do some magic math. I'll just do some common core math. And if you get four guilties over here and four guilties over there and then four guilties on this charge, and then I'll just combine those and say guilty. And he's in there basically urging the jury to, it's kind of like what they did to Alex Jones. So, I mean, it's similar stuff. These are the tactics they play. The judge is just there to convince the jury and mislead them, thinking that they really don't have any other role except to do the judge's bidding. And of course, this is not how the legal system works at all. And so the judge is just in there saying, yeah, well, you just gotta, we just know Trump's guilty and a bad guy. So we just need you to give me some numbers here and we'll get him. It's all completely unheard of. But last night, when the jury was deliberating, some interesting news was developing. NBC's legal correspondent, Laura Jarrett, reporting that this is so strange. Nothing like this has ever been done before. The jury is in there and the judge won't even give them the rules. So you see, the judge is tampering with the jury. The judge is trying to lead the jury to the decision of a Trump guilty. And even though he knows he doesn't have enough control over the jury to get that, that's why he's in there playing this common core math magic, saying, oh, well, if I just get some people to think he's guilty of some things, I'll just add it all up and say that that counts. But here's the NBC legal correspondent, Laura Jarrett, outside, basically saying this is how the jury is being rigged in clip 7.
I got it. These are the instructions that the jury has to follow in Donald Trump's hush money trial before they can reach a verdict. 53 pages. This is complicated. This is lengthy stuff. It took the judge over an hour to read it. But guess what? The jury doesn't get this in the room during deliberations. They have to write questions, they can write notes, but they don't get these instructions. In New York, both parties have to agree and the judge has to agree. And in this case, it didn't happen. They don't have this in the room right now.
Interesting. Isn't that interesting? So, I mean, it's like the judge is just breaking the law at this point. Just breaking the law. Here's Donald Trump this morning as they're going into the courtroom.
Thank you very much. Here we go again. 5 weeks. I've been here. I'm gagged. I'd like to answer all of your questions. They're very easy questions to answer, but I'm gagged, so I can't talk as much as I would like to about this ridiculous case that's hurting our country so badly. Some of the reviews from yesterday and by the way, everyone's against this case. I haven't seen one legal scholar or expert in the law say that this case should have been filed. It should not have been filed. Or at a minimum, it should have been filed 7 years ago. 7 years old, everybody turned it down, including federal elections turned it down. Southern District turned it down. Bragg turned it down. Then he rejuvenated it when I was running for office. It's a terrible thing. At the request of Biden, the editors of the National Review say, quit Trump. Bragg has failed to prove his charges. Totally failed. Greg Jarrett, who exactly was defrauded? Voters who had already voted. Well, they already voted because all of this stuff came in after the election. So how were they defrauded? And then you say, what about Hillary with the dossier? What about all of these other things that go, and this is nothing. This is nothing. But what about all of the corruption, the voter fraud that you've seen over the last year on behalf of the Democrats and nobody talks about it? This is ridiculous what they're talking about. This is called running for office. Greg Jarrett, the government which received full payment on all taxable income. The government, by the way, received full payment. The taxes were paid in full. In fact, they made comments on that. Even if the taxes were paid in full, the Federal Elections Commission had concluded the money paid did not constitute a campaign contribution under the law. And remember, this judge wouldn't allow us. Look, he's a very conflicted judge. Everybody knows that. You don't want to talk about what the conflict was. I'm not allowed to talk about it because of a gag order that he put on me. It's a one subject he really doesn't want to talk about. There was no fraud. There was no conspiracy. It's that simple. Moreover, without a primary crime, there can be no secondary crime. It's a classic lawfare, weaponizing statutes, because the law's been... Okay, right? Because no law has been broken. That was Greg Jarrett. Eli Honig, legal analyst for CNN, the crime here is not easy to explain or to understand. It's just not understandable. In other words, there is no crime. This is CNN. Catherine Christian from MSNBC, I call it MSDNC, legal analyst. It's difficult because it's a very nuanced argument. It's never been prosecuted before. This is an argument that has never been prosecuted before. And hopefully it'll never be prosecuted again. Andy McCarthy, this is anything but standard. It's the antithesis of standard, actually. The idea that they do not have to agree on what the other crime is. We spent 6 weeks wondering, what is the other crime? What is the other crime? And at the end, the thud we all get is this. There's three or four of them, and you could pick one from the other, and they don't have to agree on anything. And what he's saying is it's so corrupt. Nobody's ever heard of a thing like this. It's called pick 'em. It's like the lottery. Pick 'em. You pick 'em. And you don't have to be, even though in a criminal case you have to be unanimous, you don't have to be. Just give a couple of votes, because the judge, unfortunately, is corrupt. Judge Jeanine Pirro, no one has heard of this. It's like it's a menu column A, B, or C. You don't have to agree on it. This is a kangaroo court. This is unheard of. I've never seen anything like it. I've done this for 32 years. I'm not a federal prosecutor or a state prosecutor, so I know what I'm talking about. I'm not a federal judge. I'm a county judge, just like Mercia. This is New York law. This is my wheelhouse. He is 100% wrong. He's wrong. That's what Jeanine Pirro, very good woman, very smart woman. Jonathan Turley, this is becoming a three-card Monte game on where is the crime? Smart guy. Where is the crime? Mike Davis, the U.S. would sanction a country for doing this. I think that's good. I think that's good. Steve Hilton, it seems that every single day these proceedings go on, the judge and the prosecutor just go out of their way to prove Trump's point. And I guess they are proving my point when you think. That's why I write some of these things that are very sad. Mark Levin, this Stalinist-like case, it's a Stalinist-like case. It has prevented President Trump from running for office. It has prevented him from campaigning. He's unable to campaign because he's been in a courthouse for 5 weeks. And yet we just had a poll came out, NPR. Trump's 54, Biden's 42. And that's with independents. That's the best we've ever had. They said this is the single best poll that Trump has ever had with independents. Trump's largest lead among independent voters, NPR Marist College, 44-28. And Junior is way down, way, way down. But it's 44 juniors, extremely liberal, by the way, extremely radical left. I think you know that. But he seems to be hurting Biden probably a little bit. So that's it. It's a disgrace. The millions and millions of dollars that are spent daily on this case, outside it looks like it's Fort Knox, like they're guarding this. I've never seen so many policemen. Now with Columbia University, you can plant a tent right in front of the main door, no problem. NYU, just put your tent up. Don't worry about it. Over here. But I just want to say that this is a very sad day for America. The whole world is watching. And it's a very sad day for New York. I've gone through two of these trials already. It's a very, with the same kind of a judge. It's all worked. It's all rigged. The whole thing, the whole system is rigged. Judge Ed Gorin was overturned 5 times in my case. And he's going to be overturned again. And we were treated very, very badly. And the outside world is watching, and the outside world is just not going to bring their business to New York. And that's going to cost the city trillions and the state trillions and trillions of dollars. Businesses are leaving, and people are fleeing. So you can see the quotes yourself, and thank you all very much. We'll comment later on in the evening, but we'll be here. It looks like a long time. Thank you.
Now, they're asking, the jury that is, or they're asking for other notes and notes on witness testimony from Cohen and Pecker and the rest of them already in hour 11. It's likely there won't be a decision. They'll probably adjourn, my guess is, before we're even off air. But how is this going to go? How is the judge going to massage the jury to get the result he wants? What the Democrats want, who have paid his family tens of millions of dollars, because I think it's a fair assumption to think that if it's going this long, that they obviously have some holdouts in there. So that's where we're at here on day two. I think it's going to go till tomorrow. We'll, of course, be having live coverage right here at band.video, americanelection.news. We'll continue to monitor the live shot there outside of the courtroom as well. And then here's some of the other headlines, and then the new attack on Donald Trump, okay? He said the N-word. I mean, that's got to be it, right? Trump said the N-word. That's got to be it. That's got to be it for Trump. We'll have that in a second, though. Trump trial updates, jury back in court for second day. Okay, Judge Merchan once gave money to Joe Biden, but not a conflict of interest. He shouldn't have to recuse himself. I mean, they'll argue that Clarence Thomas has to recuse himself because his wife posts conservative memes on the internet. They'll claim that Alito needs to recuse himself or resign because he has an appeal to heaven flag at his house. That he says, well, my wife put it up. It doesn't even matter whether his wife put it up or not. But Merchant's family can get tens of millions of dollars from the Democrats, and they have no problem with that. No problem with that. But oh my gosh. A Supreme Court justice has an appeal to heaven flag, which is in American tradition all the way back to the 1770s. My God. My God. And it just keeps getting worse. Paul Sperry reporting. FEC vendor records revealed Judge Merchan's daughter raked in $9.7 million from Biden and Harris during their 2020 campaigns for president, raising fresh conflict issues. They paid Lauren Merchant's Dem consulting firm Authentic Campaigns to sway swing state undecideds through social media. So just another drop in the bucket. When this is all said and done, the final tally is going to be over $100 million that the Democrats have paid the judge. The judge's daughter, over $100 million. And then he tells Trump, you can't talk about that or I'll throw you in jail. You can't talk about my family, my daughter, receiving hundreds of millions of dollars from the Democrats, or I'll throw you in jail. That's the judge. That's what we're dealing with. Now, there's other attacks on Trump. They're bringing up this Project 2025. Now, I'm going to play you Ayanna Pressley. This is part of the squad, Ayanna Pressley. And she is talking about Project 2025, and they want this to, like, get glued to Donald Trump's forehead, and they'll act like it's a swastika or something. But listen to the details here from Ayanna Pressley whining about this on the House floor in clip 10.
And we must sound the alarm. Project 2025 is a far-right manifesto. Mm. It is a 1,000-page bucket list of extremist policies that would uproot every government agency and disrupt the lives of every person who calls this country home. I won't detail every aspect, but I'll share some highlights. The Department of Education would be eliminated.
I'm sorry. You have to just correct the Democrats. You have to correct the things that they say because they just lie to your face. Wanting to uproot the federal government? Does that sound so bad? Does that sound so bad to this audience? Well, she says it's extremist. And then how does she phrase it? It'll change the lives of every American. It'll negatively affect the lives of every American. What, getting government off of our backs? Now this is the same party, the Democrat Party. You want to talk about policy that's going to overturn your life. You want to talk about policy that's going to change the life of every American. It's the climate change agenda. It's the green new energy policies. It's shutting off all oil, coal, and saying we have to go to these green new energy deals. That will completely change the life of every American negatively. But see, she just takes this manifesto, as she calls it, that some conservatives put out about, I mean, you could call it like a Declaration of Independence in a way. You could call it like common sense from Thomas Paine. Somebody just writes a political manifesto for a important time in history, says, look, we got a corrupt government. Here's how we can deal with it. And it's the Democrats panicked because they're the ones that run the government. They're the ones that want to use the government to control your life and to destroy their political opposition. But no, they are the extremists. They want to change your lifestyle by telling you you can't eat meat, you can't drive a car, you can't have AC or heating in your house. They're the ones who have the policy that wants to change your life. And they say, well, if the right wants to get the government off your back, that's the negative thing. All right, continue.
Of every person who calls this country home. I won't detail every aspect, but I'll share some highlights. The Department of Education would be eliminated, cutting students off from civil rights protections and ending essential Title I funding for K-12 schools. The Department of Justice would go on a murdering spree. It would rush to use the death penalty and expand its use to even more people while circumventing due process protections. Project 25 not only calls for national book bans in schools, but also creates a list of banned words for the federal government that would be deleted from, quote, every federal rule, agency regulation, contract, grant, and piece of legislation that exists. End quote. Here are just a few of the words on the list. Diversity, gender, reproductive health, and of course, conservatives want to ban the word abortion. On that note, abortion care would be inaccessible and illegal no matter where
abortion
you
care.
Live. Take it from them. On page 6 of its playbook, Project 2025 states, quote, the Dobbs decision is just the beginning, end quote. People even in my district, the Massachusetts 7th, the leader in Repro Justice, would be criminalized for pursuing essential health care. Now,
abortion.
We could have an entire hearing on how these policies would quite literally ruin and end lives. And I didn't even touch upon proposals for housing, climate change, worker protections, and more. If enacted, Project 2025 would destroy the federal government as we know it.
Sweet. Sweet. Now, again, this is just like a conversation piece. It has nothing to do with Trump, but they want to glue it to Trump and then, you know, demonize it and say, oh, this is Trump and this is why you can't elect him. But, I mean, getting rid of the federal government, does that really sound so bad? Why do the Democrats, why are they so uneased at the idea of getting rid of the federal government? Why does that bother them so much? And then they put out this headline in Salon. Trump is now trying to downplay Project 2025. Trump's campaign issued a statement distancing the former president from a plan drawn up by former staffers. So it's like, oh, anything who ever worked for Trump, anybody who ever worked for Trump, whatever they say or do, now that's Trump. And if they say and do something bad, we're just going to blame that on Trump. But, you know, when the Democrats call for attacking Trump supporters and then it happens and they say, hey, look, here's a baseball practice that Republicans have and there's no security, wink, wink, and then James Hodgkinson drives from Missouri to try to commit a mass murder, they don't bat an eye. But despite all that, I think they finally got him this time, guys. I think they finally got him this time. A former worker on The Apprentice has claimed that an NDA has just expired, and so now he can talk about what went on behind the scenes, and this is it for Trump, ladies and gentlemen. This former apprentice worker says Donald Trump used the N-word. So that's it. He's done. He can't recover from this. That's the big ending. The Donald Trump I saw on The Apprentice. And it's all about how, oh, I can talk now. My NDA expired. And, oh, he's this. He's such a bad guy. And by the way, he said the N-word. And there's just dozens of these stories. Roll that B-roll, guys. I mean, this thing is everywhere. Trump said the N-word. Trump used the N-word. Trump proves he's a racist. It's just all over. You pull up the internet and they're just forcing this into your consciousness. Trump said the N-word. 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 So it's just anything they can. Anything they can do. And obviously this is because Trump is gaining popularity amongst black voters. So now they're going to say, see, Trump's a racist. He said the N-word. You can't vote for him. It ain't going to work. In fact, let's check in. Let's check in if the Trump N-word piece is going to hit with black voters. Here, let's go to clip 6 out front of Trump Tower. A black voter responds.
In front of Trump Tower, niggas for Trump 2024. Y'all know who I am. Now get mad. I don't care about your damn feelings. Your feelings already been hurt for like 8 decades. Come on, man. You've been loyal to them Democrats. They ain't did a damn thing for you. Niggas for Trump 2024. Have a good day.
There it is. All right. So there it is. But wait a second. Didn't Biden have something to say about that in clip 4?
Already have a nigger mayor. We don't need any more nigger big shots.
Oh, jeez. Oh, man. Well, you made up that Trump used the N-word. There's Biden actually saying it, though.
Your cardiovascular system is under attack. Everybody knows it. And I've got in my hands 2 products that are absolutely insane when it comes to what they do for your body and your overall health. One of them is the highest grade fish oil you can find. Everybody knows how good fish oil is. This is as good as it gets. And when you purchase it at InfoWarsStore.com, you support the broadcast, a 360 win. And then, of course, Nitric Boost. You've heard all the rage about this. A whole bunch of concentrated natural compounds that clean out your blood and clean out your cardiovascular system. Everybody should be taking both of these products at InfoWarsStore.com. And both of them, by the way, are 40% off for a limited time. Now, the sale's going to end in about 2 weeks because we've already sold out of more than half of these products since they came back in. But if you want to get Ultimate Fish Oil and Nitric Boost for 40% off, get them both today at InfoWarsStore.com. I want to thank you all for supporting the broadcast. I want to thank you all for spreading the word, because without you, we are nothing.
The eugenicists over 100 years ago were very public about their plans. They financed major universities. They ran full-page stories and advertisements pushing their propaganda in the New York Times, other major newspapers, that the family as we know it is a bad thing and must be ended. And the first step in that is getting women out of the household and teaching women that cooking dinner and taking care of your sons and daughters and husbands is a bad thing. And I was just sitting here tonight making dinner for my daughter, my 4.5-year-old daughter. My wife makes dinner a lot of times, but I like to make it as well. I love to make breakfast. And literally, it's the funnest thing on earth to make food for your family and be nutritive and then all sit down together and have that communal event. And that's what the system is attacking and bombarding, is our normal biological actions are coming together. They really are sick, evil, scientific cult of filth that want to domesticate us and turn us into lab rats. We cannot let this continue. If you don't get a high-quality gravity-fed filter from InfoWarsStore.com, please just get one. Now, we sell a unit, stainless steel, that is the highest rated out there. And there's a couple of competitors that are just as good. There's 100 others that aren't as good. It is the best system out there to take thousands of chemicals and compounds down to non-detectable levels. The tap water, the well water, it is a witch's brew. And right now at InfoWarsStore.com, we have a special on the Alexa Pure gravity-fed water filtration system for 10% off. That's huge because there's not much markup in these because we sell them so close to cost. So get your Alexa Pure water filtration systems and so much more at InfoWarsStore.com. But whatever you do, research what's in the tap water and the well water and start protecting yourself. And all gravity-fed filters are not created equal. We've got the best for the best price at InfoWarsStore.com for 10% off.
Omega-3 fatty acids are needed for optimal strength, and they can only be obtained through diet. They can be found in grass-fed beef, which is why the ruling class is trying to ban it. And they can be found in fish, which are arguably the best source of omega-3s. But the problem today is finding fish without a high mercury content. Your best option is our Ultimate Fish Oil and Ultimate Krill Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. Omega-3 fatty acids are essential for both our neurological and cardiovascular systems, our brain and our heart. They improve mood, mental clarity, and immune function. Get your essential omega-3 fatty acids from the best sources available, Ultimate Fish Oil and Ultimate Krill Oil. Get some today at InfoWarsStore.com.
Infowars.com/show.
China has identified the cause of a mysterious new virus.
Over the past few weeks, our entire world has been transformed.
You must stay at home.
Our freedoms have now been replaced with fear.
We need all the protection that we can get.
Now governments dictate what is allowed to be said. But today we will not be silenced. And 1 million people will be watching. I prepared my whole life for a moment like this. But nothing would prepare for what happened next.
This is London Real. I am Brian Rose. My guest today is David Icke.
What happened after that broadcast, Brian?
London Real had an interview with David Icke, was removed from YouTube. If you take that guy off, you just make him bigger.
What the hell just happened?
Have you ever lost the only thing that makes you feel alive?
You are only one piece of content away from termination.
This is the story about how we got censored.
There is no COVID-19.
How we put everything on the line for what we believed in.
They picked the wrong guy to fight with.
How we were betrayed.
Fuck the BBC.
How we fought back.
We are freedom and we'll accept nothing less.
And expose the truth.
Who benefits? He who most benefits from a crime is the one most likely to have committed it.
Who is telling me what I can and can't say?
So it will never happen again.
I want to be with Brian Rose and David Icke. That is the future and that will never be defeated.
We're back live in studio with Brian Rose. And this is actually pretty exciting stuff. You want to talk about being multimedia and just being able to do all things despite the censorship. We're doing it here with Brian Rose. We're doing it here with InfoWars. We're doing it here with Band.Video. And we are going to premiere Brian's new documentary that you just saw the trailer on, all about censorship. So Brian, talk about this documentary. Talk about the premiere that we're about to have at InfoWars, and just everything that went into it to get us to this point.
So this is the movie that Silicon Valley doesn't want you to watch because it's all about the massive censorship apparatus of the 21st century, which includes governments, all of our tech platforms, and quite frankly, a lot of our global corporations. And I tell the story of what happened to me as a podcaster in the UK in 2020, who was minding my own business. I had been publishing for 9 years, had about 500 million views, over 2 million subscribers on my YouTube channel. And then in March of 2020, I guess I made a big mistake because I had a guy named David Icke on my show, and he started asking questions about COVID, about masks, about distancing. Move forward to April, a month later, I had him back. We had the second largest YouTube live stream in the world, 65,000 concurrent viewers. And that video was banned and deleted. And we were really the earliest people that were getting censored on YouTube for asking hard questions. And I got angry and we just fought back. And so the movie really talks about how we ultimately set up our own streaming platform, streamed that third episode to 1 million people. And, you know, we think we actually kind of changed the narrative. But the story continues because 8 months ago, I was completely deplatformed from YouTube. They took down all of our channels. And so censorship is real. And we're premiering this film on X because it's the only platform that'll really have it at this point.
And it shows too that the instincts from these social media companies isn't even, because I know there's like a fiduciary duty when it comes to running a business like this and you have investors and shareholders, but it shows that their instincts and their duties are on more narrative control, because you were making a lot of money for YouTube. You were doing well on YouTube. And then at the end of the day, it's like, oh, no. You're going off narrative. You're reporting on things we don't want people to see. You're having David Icke on your show. We don't want him on our platform, so we're done with you.
Yeah, and I didn't really understand it at the time, you know, and it wasn't just YouTube. I remember PayPal suspended an account with six figures in it. Dropbox took me off, although I didn't know Dropbox was looking at the files on Dropbox. You know, Instagram, LinkedIn were all banning us at the same time. And whenever you said, oh, this is big tech coming after you, they say, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist, you're paranoid. But now, years later, when we look at what was happening, we could see from the Twitter files, it was most likely government putting pressure on these institutions to stop certain narratives. And I've since had a guy named Mike Benz on my show who's coming out with a book called Weapons of Mass Deletion. And when he saw the movie, we screened it in Myrtle Beach. We won the film festival there. He said, Brian, he's like, I can see everything that's happening behind the scenes that you felt at the front of the scene. But all I knew was YouTube was telling me what I could and couldn't do, even though, like you said, it made no sense because it's against their business model. It's against even their own interests. And so it really shows that there were some bigger powers pushing back. But the ultimate lesson is simple. If you lose your freedom of speech, you're one step away from losing everything. And we're really close to losing it right now. If we didn't have platforms like X, I don't know what we would do. And I just want everyone to be aware that they need to fight and constantly be aware that everything they're watching right now is being censored, except maybe here on InfoWars. Yeah. And just to be, you know, I always used to say, it always happens to the weirdo until you're the weirdo. You know, Alex got banned in 2018. And you don't think much of it until it happens to you, and then it happens to Joe Rogan, and it happens to someone else. And so it's alive and well today, and that's why we're bringing the film out.
Well, and I think that here's the important measure of it too, because maybe sometimes the free speech angle and argument kind of gets lost in translation. It's become so commonplace that I think now people are just kind of numb to hearing it. It's like, oh, another free speech issue. But what's important about this story is – what we were reporting, what you were reporting in 2020, whether it was dealing with COVID, the origins, dealing with the vaccines and the side effects, all that information that they were censoring all ended up coming true. And so now you're not just talking about, okay, well, I have a right to free speech, or debating how it applies to these social media platforms. You're talking about what was truthful information being targeted and censored.
Yeah, that changed the course of history and lost a lot of lives by not having that information out there. Yeah, I always used to say, I don't like to say what you just said and said, and we were right, because even if we weren't, those ideas should have been debated. And of course, the great ideas always rise to the top. That's the story of humanity. But if you look back at it, yes, we were talking about possible lab leaks. We were talking about distancing, mass effectiveness, the rollout of vaccines to an unsuspecting public that would be forced in many ways to do it. And we happen to be right about all of that. And yet all of that was suppressed to where we couldn't even have those conversations. So you're right. When you look at it through that lens, you can really see the damage. And it'll all happen again if we're not vigilant about trying to fight for this right. But you're right. We do get desensitized. What does freedom of speech mean? Like, why do we need it? And it's not just freedom of speech. It's the right to hear what someone else has to say. And so now YouTube, I had 2.4 million subscribers, 2.4 million people around the world that wanted to listen to what I had to say, that I wanted to speak to. And now a tech company has come in the middle and said, you're not allowed to talk to each other. And that's something fundamentally wrong with someone trying to do that. And it sounds nefarious because it is.
Well, and the whole idea is that you can't be trusted. It used to be that if you didn't have a major network, or if you didn't have a big television station or satellite connection or whatever, that you couldn't reach millions of people, right? That ability was reserved for a very few. Well, now in the year 2024, I mean, I guess it's been this way for some decades now. When did Twitter launch? Like 2008 or something? So now anybody can get a million followers. Now anybody can reach masses of people, millions of people. That's what the establishment hates. That's what you can't be trusted with that. One individual can change the narrative. One individual can bring information to light that otherwise wouldn't be brought to light. And so that's what this is all about to me. And what's so frustrating, and it becomes this issue of, do you even bother trying to make sense of the leftist ideology? I mean, is it a waste of time? But they say, oh, we're anti-fascist. Oh, we're against, you know, big corporations and all this stuff. Well, then this is your lane. Like, this should be the lane. This should be the battlefield that you're on. We're talking about big corporations censoring information that would hurt their bottom line. $100 billion of a vaccine contract from the Biden administration to Pfizer. They censor all the side effects off the internet. So it's just like, how that is supposedly the fight that they're having. Instead, they're the ones trying to stop us from having it.
Yeah, and you talked about that censorship complex. I mean, the U.S. government has been censoring organizations like the New York Times for 100 years. Like, they had that all set, television channels, et cetera. With the rise of the internet that was supposed to destabilize governments around the world and introduce these democratic ideas, it actually came back and started threatening that government. And so now they had to find ways to censor. As far as the left, it used to be the party of free speech. It used to be the party that respected these civil rights, and it's gone 180 degrees back to the other side. And I think it's now become more of this pack mentality. And I think people are really out of touch with what these things really mean to our future. An open and honest debate will always result in the best idea. I used to joke there were these people on YouTube at the time who had this theory called the earth is flat. And yet they didn't take those videos down off of YouTube.
Those are still up.
Yeah, those are still up. But my videos.
And they should be.
And they should be, exactly. And yet my videos are down. And I was like, why? Well, they're clearly trying to upset some type of a status quo. They're clearly trying to do something without us knowing that's happening. And we all just need to take a step back and realize we have to fight for this. And Elon Musk always says it well. He says, look, freedom of speech only applies to people you don't like saying things that you don't want to hear. That's the acid test. And furthermore, once you lose it, you can't get it back. And so this is a very important time. Otherwise, we might not get it back.
Well, and of course, you know, censorship, or however you want to explain it, is a sign of weakness. If somebody doesn't want to debate you on the ideas, that shows that they're lacking confidence in their own ideas, that they can't bring it forward in a debate. And I think, you know, when this first started rolling out, and I still think that this is true to a certain extent, I mean, the censorship on these other platforms, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, it's kind of just, since they never really got stopped, they just kind of do it whenever they want now, willy-nilly. But I think in the beginning, you talked about how you had one of the largest streams ever on YouTube with David Icke. What I saw the first pattern was, because people would ask me, they try to figure out, well, why are they banning this group or that group? The people that they hate the most, at least in the origins of the censorship era, were the people that went live when there was breaking news. you know, if you report on a story maybe 48 hours afterwards, they kind of don't care about you as much. If you just upload a video after everything breaks, they don't care about you as much. It's the people that are live when there's the breaking news story, because that's how they control the narrative. And if there's other opposing viewpoints while there's a story breaking, then they can't control the narrative. And so when you talk about you having one of the biggest live streams ever, that's a huge threat. They can't have somebody getting hundreds of thousands or millions of people tuned into a live stream when there's breaking news and a narrative that they have to control.
You know, I never thought about that aspect before, but every single one of our broadcasts was live. And so I think you're right. That was the threat. And people knew it was in real time. They could evaluate it in real time. And it was completely contrarian to everything else that was being parroted in the mainstream media. And so the final part of the film is us creating our own platform and streaming it to 1 million people live and getting that message out there. And I think the big message is it doesn't actually take that much to fight back. These organizations aren't as powerful as we're led to believe that they are. We had a small group of people in London. We had millions around the world that I call the London Real Army, and they made that happen. Really is the story of InfoWars as well. If people just realize, they say, no, we're not going to do that, and we need to fight for this really important thing or we're going to lose it forever.
Well, and I'm just somebody that is – I'm a media consumer myself. I consume mass media probably too much, probably unhealthy, but it's what I do. I try to look at trends and see what's going on. So when they first started censoring people, that was just a trend that I noticed. I realized, okay, most – consumers of information, not the hardcore consumers that are active listeners, but kind of the general consumers that when there's a breaking news story, want to just kind of feel it out and, you know, maybe go, they want live. They want something that's live. And cable news has had that edge for decades now, and they're starting to lose that edge, specifically with people under 40 years old. So that's why they went after that first, because it's the live viewership that can hurt a narrative when it's first forming. After 24, 48 hours, they kind of don't even care. It's like it's a first wave, first impression, people coming in when there's breaking news, and then they get on with their lives. So I'm not surprised, because you were live a lot, you were doing live coverage, you were getting live viewers, that they targeted you first. And, you know, you were mentioning this as well, and I think this is an important aspect of your story, and I don't know if you want to kind of tease some of the stuff that is coming up in your documentary, but you were a partner with YouTube. It was a beneficial relationship for them, for you, and you figured, well, maybe there's a level of loyalty here, but there's not. They'll pull the rug out from under you. And I was mentioning, and I'm not trying to take cheap shots at Tim Pool. He's not secret about this. He's got one of the biggest YouTube channels. He openly talks about how he basically has to censor his show to remain on YouTube. It's a decision he's made, but it's a dangerous precedent. Because what you look at what happened to you. Hey, you had a deal with YouTube, and then what did they do to you?
Yeah, removed it in a heartbeat. Well, they have, and I cover this in the film, there's a sports section where they show how they control creators. First of all, they sold us all the dream that this is a platform where we can do anything we want, right? We can build our own brand. And you look at the happy YouTube videos with all the beautiful looking creators, and that's the dream they sold us. And I bought into that dream, hook, line, and sinker. I went down to YouTube headquarters, part of the partner program, making the millions of dollars, until you say something they don't want to hear. At first, what they want to do is demonetize you. Now, most YouTubers, 99% of them, live off YouTube revenues. And all they need is that first sign, and they'll zip it, consciously or subconsciously. Now, if you don't get the message and you're still a bad boy or a bad girl, then what do they do next? They kill your reach. So your video that was getting 100,000 views now gets 10.
And they see that, by the way.
They see that, and then, of course, that affects your monetization. And most creators they want to express themselves. There's no one watching. That's a downer. If you still don't get the message, then they'll take the video down. If you still don't get the message, you'll get a strike, a second strike, and then removed. Most people tap out before that, and most people self-censor. They don't even know that they're not actually talking about something. Like, you're in a cocktail party, you don't want to say something that offends people, so you zip it about your opinion. And if that happens on YouTube, it's dangerous. Now, I see what Tim's doing, and I understand there's an argument where you can have this platform over here that has my controversial content, and this platform over here that keeps my fan base. But like you said, that's a dangerous line to walk, because you start changing as a creator. And we didn't want any part in that, so we fought back. We put our business on the line. It hurt us, but it also got us a loyal fan base around the world that could tell that we were standing up for what we believed in. And that's when Alex reached out at the time and encouraged me to actually ask our supporters for help and then to keep going. And this is the story of just what happened to just a simple broadcaster.
Quickly here, word is that we might have a Trump verdict breaking any minute now, so we're going to continue to monitor that with the crew in my ear and flashing that on the screen. Trump verdict about to be announced here probably next hour, so we'll have that coverage live. And you know, I'm not in Tim's shoes, and I think I understand why people might get upset for the decisions that he makes. That's his decision, and you can make the decision whether you want to watch his content or not. I don't think the decision would be hard. I just can't censor myself. Even if I wanted to, I wouldn't be able to. Like, I'd be like, all right, I'm not going to say this. And then I'd go on air and it's just stream of consciousness. I'd say something. I'd get banned anyway. But, you know, in a way, it's like, cause he just had that Trump interview, probably got millions of views. It's probably a good thing that he's able to get that interview and get it millions of views. Even if he does have to engage in, you know, some control over his shows just so he can remain on YouTube. But again, it's that. At any moment, they can just pull that rug out. And you can try to play ball with them as much as possible, and they can still just pull that rug out at any moment. And it is. It's a dangerous relationship to have, especially because I think it's true. I mean, a lot of the people that make content on YouTube, if you do well, you're making money. I mean, that's where you're making your money.
Yeah, and that's your only source of revenue, and that means they can control it. You know, look, you know, when you're creating that content, you're always thinking about what are the ramifications, and it changes who you are. My first reaction when they took us down was anger. I just wanted to re-upload it because it just felt something in my DNA. There's just something not right about me not being able to express myself. You know, I don't know. It's because I grew up in America where free speech seemed to be a thing, but I had to re-upload it.
I grew up in Stone Cold's America, so I can't help it.
Yeah, you kind of have to honor that and then take those actions accordingly, but not many people do. This apparatus works really well, and YouTube can control a lot of that narrative. You know, I still remember having these conversations with these reps, and the videos are in the movie, and I'm so frustrated because they use this blanket policy of hate speech to be able to take down any single piece of content. At one point, I say to them, I feel like you're terrorizing me here because I don't know at any point you could take my channel down. At any point, you can use any reason to take that content down. I'm confused. I'm kind of traumatized. I'm in this weird state. And that's kind of where they keep you. And so,
and they can just make it up as they go along. What is hate speech?
They literally were making it up. At one point he said, we've had the COVID policy in place for a year. He said that on April 8th. And I paused and I said, a year? I said, this virus is new. And then he just changed the subject. So it's just, they don't even know what was going on.
Is this part of the, is this the phone call you're talking about?
Yeah. This is all in the film.
Yeah.
And so,
well, there's some, Brian here has let me know some of the stuff that's in the film. There's definitely some heavy stuff in there that, let's just say maybe your legal team is kind of sweating it out. They're sweating it out today.
You know, again, my job is to tell this story in as much truth as I can. And so I want to get it out there to show what actually happened and let the chips fall where they may, as Tyler Durden would say.
Here's the way I've kind of been presenting this too recently, because, you know, so in the business that we're in, it's really mass communication. And so sometimes, because a lot of people just in the multimedia, social media world, anybody can kind of rise and get a following. There's all kinds of different means and mechanisms to do so. But you have to remember, you're in mass communications. And so there's certain things that you have to think about when you're doing this, and finding a message that resonates, finding the lowest common denominator, finding a way to get people to understand what you're trying to say. And so one of the ways I've been trying to communicate this with this new censorship thing is there's this concept that's building that somehow there's a difference of speech. And if you and I are at dinner, or we're at a bar, or we're at a ball game and we're just talking, versus if you and I are on our X account or YouTube or somewhere else talking, there's this idea that somehow there's a difference there. And really, I think that barrier needs to be completely broken down. I'm not saying the two things are perfectly similar, but what I'm saying is, if I'm talking to you about something controversial in a private conversation or whatever at a bar, well, we're not worried of ramifications. It's just speech. Well, why wouldn't that same concept apply to what I'm saying on the internet? Why isn't that same principle existing for communications that you make on the internet? That barrier that there's somehow two different rules for these two forms of speech needs to be completely destroyed.
Yeah, there shouldn't be those two rules, and it's going to hurt us in the long term because we're not going to be able to put these ideas out there. And what's going to be the next set of ideas? And what could we have prevented if these discussions were allowed to happen, if these crazy people were allowed to talk? And this is going to happen over and over again. And it's not just happening in what happened in 2020 with COVID. It happens in all these issues around the world. So this is an important point. I hope people get the point. The problem is that most people consume media that's censored, and most people are oblivious to the fact that this is happening every day. But they need to think about it, because once you lose this, you don't get it back.
Well, you know, that's actually another interesting question too. It's how many people even realize that the censorship is going on?
They don't. People are like, oh, I haven't seen your videos in a while.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, we got the platform 8 months ago, zero. Oh, didn't know. You know, yeah. Censorship works. That's the problem. It silences voices. Yep. And unless you fight back, you have a community and you're really determined, it works. And that's the dangerous lesson here, especially digitally. You can really squelch someone. And so that can happen to anyone. And again, usually you want the best idea to win. That only happens with an open discussion.
Well, and in a way too, the beauty of, I mean, let's use YouTube as the example here. It probably is the best example. Kind of the beauty of it was that it was the easiest way for a content creator to succeed and make money. I mean, it's not to say, I don't know if lazy is the best word for it, but in a way, it takes away so much of the headache of how am I going to fund my content. I mean, I'm lucky that I'm working for Alex and InfoWars, because when they knocked all our stuff off in 2018, Alex had already built the infrastructure for us to be self-sufficient. So we already had that infrastructure. I mean, when they took YouTube, it was a massive hit. I mean, six figures a year they were taking away. So it was obviously a massive hit when they took our Google ads and everything else. But, you know, Alex kind of saw this coming, and we already had the infrastructure built so that we could be self-sufficient. Other people don't really have that. All right. So the documentary is about to break. We got crazy stuff going on at InfoWars today. The documentary is about to stream. We're about to have the Trump verdict live. But tell people where they can go find this documentary.
Yeah, the film is called We Will Not Be Silenced. It's actually won 20 film festivals all over the world. We are streaming it today on your platform. If they want to watch it on ours, it's LondonReel.tv/movie. And we're going to stream it out. We can only do that on X, because Elon Musk is the only person that's truly committed to free speech of any of these tech platforms. Without that, I don't even think we could have these discussions. So we're streaming it today, just asking people to watch it and share it and meditate on these really important concepts. And let me know what you think of it as well.
Yeah, and they're obviously, you can see how they're coming after Elon Musk for returning free speech to X. Say nothing's perfect, but he's, you know, over 90% on that issue. He gets an A for what he's doing on X. Well, maybe not an A+, but I'd give him an A. All right, and if you do want to let Brian know what you think about the film, at Brian B. Rose on X or at London Real TV, and you can give him a review there. 20 awards. Well, congratulations, Brian. The film is about to debut. When we come back, we're also going to have live coverage from outside the courtroom.
Your cardiovascular system is under attack. Everybody knows it. And I've got in my hands two products that are absolutely insane when it comes to what they do for your body and your overall health. One of them is the highest grade fish oil you can find. Everybody knows how good fish oil is. This is as good as it gets. And when you purchase it at InfoWarsStore.com, you support the broadcast, a 360 win. And then, of course, Nitric Boost. You've heard all the rage about this. A whole bunch of concentrated natural compounds that clean out your blood and clean out your cardiovascular system. Everybody should be taking both of these products at InfoWarsStore.com. And both of them, by the way, are 40% off for a limited time. Now, the sale's going to end in about 2 weeks, because we've already sold out of more than half of these products since they came back in. But if you want to get Ultimate Fish Oil and Nitric Boost for 40% off, get them both today at InfoWarsStore.com. I want to thank you all for supporting the broadcast. I want to thank you all for spreading the word, because without you, we are nothing.
You know, working at InfoWars, you hear a lot of negative things about your place of work. One of the things they like to say about our supplements is we're snake oil salesmen. Well, folks, it ain't snake oil. It's fish oil, and it's incredibly good for you. Ultimate Fish Oil is now on sale, back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. If you only take one supplement, it's likely that's fish oil. It's probably the most popular supplement on earth at this point for very good reason. People realize how good it is for them, and this is the best stuff on the market. Studies suggest that fish oils and fish oil supplements can slightly lower blood pressure, decrease the growth rate of plaque, and prevent cognitive decline. So whether you're a first-time fish oil shopper or whether you're somebody who has taken fish oil for a while and is looking for the best quality available, go to InfoWarsStore.com today and get Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. It's going to sell out fast because that's what happens when you have fantastic products. Help us fight the global agenda and also improve your health with fish oil. InfoWarsStore.com.
Infowars.com/show. Making talk radio great again. It's The War Room
with Owen Schroyer.
All right, the word is that the verdict is in. And I guess at this point we're just waiting for the jury to return to the courtroom. Now, there's no cameras allowed inside, and so we'll just have to wait until the reporters leave the courtroom and the news hits the press. But that's the latest, is that a decision has been made. But it's not that simple, see? Because remember, the judge is basically making his own rules in this courtroom. A total banana republic. A total tyrant of a judge. And he's just making his own rules. And so even if the jury does not come out and say Trump was guilty, he'll find a way to still say Trump was guilty. And then you got a whole nother series of stories. So we're waiting for the verdict now. Again, there's no cameras allowed in the courtroom. So we'll have to wait till the jury returns and then the news hits the press. This is, this is obviously going to be big historic news. There's no other way to put it. No matter which way you look at it, no matter which angle you take, this is going to be big historic news. Are we going to see one of the most corrupt judges in the history of the United States targeting the political opponent of the Democrat Party that has sent his daughter hundreds of millions of dollars? Are you going to see a completely failed attempt from the Democrats, even in a completely rigged case, to try to get Trump imprisoned? Do they get the headlines that they want? Felon Trump running for office? Are they anticipating that they aren't going to get the decision they want? So now they're saying, oh, look, Trump said the N-word. Oh, look, Trump Project 2025. So we're all waiting here. I hear Alex Jones behind me. I wouldn't be surprised if he's going to join me here momentarily as well to cover this in live time. I hear the chair coming in. So, yes, I'm guessing we'll be joined by Alex here very soon as well. But no doubt here on this Thursday, May 30th, major American history will be made. Major political history will be made here any moment now. But just imagine, no matter what they do or say, the result of this case, the story is going to remain that it was a rigged case, that the judge was corrupt, and that it's just political persecution against the leading candidate to be the next president of the United States. And the Democrats, of course, are more concerned with getting Trump than they are with actually helping the American people, actually having law enforcement do its job, securing the border, whatever you want to tee up there. Doesn't matter. The Democrats need to get Trump out of the way. And this was one of their many efforts. You still got the case in Florida that's falling apart. Don't be surprised if he's in court in Washington, D.C. over January 6th before too long. You've got the looming decision at the Supreme Court, whether President Trump gets immunity in the documents case, which it looks like he's going to win that deal. And that's why you have the Democrats now going after Justice Alito with some bogus flag story. A flag that's been part of American history and lore since the 1770s, the American Revolution. That, by the way, flew in front of the San Francisco City Hall for decades, an appeal to heaven flag was flying in front of the San Francisco City Hall for decades, and they just took it down because they just realized how bad it is now that Alito was flying it. So it just shows how the whole thing is just all bull crap. All right. So we got two chairs coming in here. So I know it's going to be Alex and, I'm not sure who other else is joining me, but we're going to have Alex Jones in studio coming up. We're going to have the Trump verdict for you live right here at Infowars.com and band.video. And then what follows this decision? We'll have it for you here momentarily. Don't go anywhere.
If you don't get a high-quality gravity-fed filter from InfoWarsStore.com, please just get one. Now, we sell a unit, stainless steel, that is the highest rated out there. And there's a couple of competitors that are just as good. There's 100 others that aren't as good. It is the best system out there to take thousands of chemicals and compounds down to non-detectable levels. The tap water, the well water, it is a witch's brew. And right now at InfoWarsStore.com, we have a special on the Alexa Pure gravity-fed water filtration system for 10% off. That's huge because there's not much markup in these because we sell them so close to cost. So get your Alexa Pure water filtration systems and so much more at InfoWarsStore.com. But whatever you do, research what's in the tap water and the well water and start protecting yourself. And all gravity-fed filters are not created equal. We've got the best for the best price at InfoWarsStore.com for 10% off.
We are getting crushed in the housing market. We are getting crushed in the automobile market. We are getting crushed in our grocery bills. They're sitting here attacking you, attacking your economy, attacking your culture, attacking your borders. And then they say you're inhumane. War.
All right, we're back here live in InfoWars World Headquarters in Austin, Texas. I have Chase Geiser and Brian Rose in studio. We're going to be joined by Alex in a moment now. We're waiting for the verdict to come in here. Of course, there are no cameras or recording devices allowed in the courtroom, so we're going to have to wait until the decision is had and then the news meets the press. And so we're monitoring that. Obviously, there are going to be major implications. Oh, here we go. I guess is that the verdict right now, guys, that they have? Okay. So a lot of confusion. Who knows what's going on? I mean, guys, what do you think is about to happen? We'll start with Chase Geiser.
Yeah. So last I saw, the judge was going to dismiss the jury for the day at 4:30 Eastern time today, is my understanding. But the jury asked for an additional 30 minutes to fill out the paperwork for the verdict. So they notified the judge and the court that they have a verdict and they're just going through the legal motions of filling out the paperwork. Once that's completed, it's my understanding that we will hear this verdict this evening. So it would be any minute. I'd imagine within the next 15 minutes or so, we're going to have a verdict.
What do you anticipate, Brian?
Well, we just spoke with a Canadian lawyer who said there was an 87% chance of conviction. I think he's probably right on those numbers.
Yeah, it was Viva Fry today.
I think we all know what's going to happen.
And the I think it's guilty. I think that it's in. I think that what we're seeing on the screen here is the verdict, and Trump is guilty. And so now I guess we find out the punishment. So there it is. Zero not guilties. I mean, this is truly stunning stuff. There's no other way to say it. This is stunning stuff that we're witnessing. They're going to find him guilty on 34. They're going to find him guilty on 34 charges. Every single charge they're going to find him guilty of. There it is. Knew it. Now, Trump could face life in prison for this. The only thing is, of course, this is going to be appealed. Do they put him in prison during the appeal, or do they let him stay out? What is the bond going to be? All kinds of crazy questions now. All right. Are you shocked by this decision, Chase?
No, I'm not shocked, but I am incredibly disappointed. You know, there's always a part. It's just like working here at InfoWars Own. There's a part of you that hopes that a miracle is going to happen. We've seen several miracles here over the years at InfoWars where we thought we were going to be shut down. Then there's a ruling and there's money that comes in. I was hoping for a miracle here by way of this verdict, but I'm very disappointed to see.
Brian, what's your first reaction?
I mean, we knew this was going to happen. The deck was stacked. They got what they wanted. The question is, what happens next? You know, does he spend a night in jail so they can say that he's now a convicted felon? Does he come out and then wait for the appeals, and then maybe it doesn't have a massive effect on what happens next? Or do they keep him in there until, you know, election day? These are the big questions of what happens next, what they want to do symbolically. These are big choices to make that'll have big ramifications.
You know, what's so crazy about this, and, you know, we're just on air getting this information as it comes out. What's so crazy is the larger story here, remove Trump's name from it. This just shows how corrupt the system is. I mean, there's no other way to put it. It shows how corrupt the system is, and it's the Democrats. They pick their target, and then they decide to destroy him. That's it. So it looks like some crazy scenes there on the ground. I don't know. We have a live feed here. My guess is Trump wins this on appeal, but they can stick him in Rikers until the appeal process, like they're doing with Dexter Taylor, who's going to be in prison for years for not even breaking a law, for building guns in his basement in New York City and being illegally spied on. So, I mean, are they that bold? Do you think they're bold enough to send Trump to Rikers and just say you're in prison until appeal?
Well, I wouldn't put anything past them at this point. They're obviously so sick and corrupt that there's no remedy for their mental illness and their spiritual illness. I'm still sitting here, and I know that we're on a live show and I'm supposed to be able to say things, but I'm just still absorbing the fact that this has happened, and it's so ridiculous, especially after our conversation today with Viva Fry, where he outlined what the 34 different charges are and how it was like one charge for the false information in a ledger, then another charge for signing the check. And so they took like one alleged crime and they just spread it across 34 different charges so they could put them away forever if they wanted to. These people, it's like they're totally not accountable to the American people anymore, to the political process, to justice or truth or anything good anymore. And they are just doubling down on their evil. I just hope that they've made a grave mistake and that we can take this back.
Well, here's the unique perspective that we here at InfoWars have that most others don't, because we've been through this process. They did the same thing to Alex. That's how they reached that $2.5 trillion number, is they just said, okay, well, this is what you're guilty of. Here's the punitive damages. But then they said, but actually you're guilty of this, you know, 5,000 times. And so we multiply that by this factor, and that's $2.5 trillion.
Yeah, it was like GDP of India, because they multiplied every instance. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's the exact same legal tactics that these corrupt Democrats used against us that they're using against Trump. And again, I have sat in the courtroom. I've been in the same wrong end of that spectrum, or the wrong corner of that triangle, like Trump is today. When you realize the judge is against you, the prosecution is against you, justice never comes into the frame, evidence, truth was never a factor. It was always, we're going to get you. And that's the only thing that exists in that courtroom. And now it's Donald Trump. It's the former president of the United States. Brian, do you think they are bold enough to put him in prison?
You cannot send Donald Trump to Rikers or there's going to be riots. Like, you cannot make that statement and do that. Now, of course, they could do it, but there's going to be huge ramifications. The only silver lining here is something that we just spoke to the lawyer about, which is the Supreme Court could rule on some type of immunity, I think by the end of June, that could nullify all this. But I wouldn't hold my breath for that. Their next moves will have long-term ramifications of whether they really want to put him in jail. And I would say think carefully, but they're obviously not thinking carefully. And you guys have been through this. You know what it's like to see something completely stacked. And that's what this looks like.
You know, you talk about the source of the frustration. You talk about the source of the anger here. And for me, it's, we've been dealing with corrupt politicians my entire life. Okay? Donald Trump is not the problem. Now, maybe, let's even say maybe Trump's guilty of all 34 counts. And I'm not saying that's the case, but let's just say, even if Trump was guilty, so is Hillary Clinton. Yes. Hillary Clinton literally committed the exact crime. They filed ethics complaints against Hillary Clinton for using campaign funds to pay people off. That's an actual story. That actually happened. She never went to trial.
Like $200, right?
They had
or something?
They have a congressional fund. They have a congressional hush money fund, $22 million.
Oh.
And nobody from that goes to prison. But it's Donald Trump. So it's the double standard here. It's the fact that We've had the most corrupt politicians, maybe even in the world, here in the United States of America, but it's Donald Trump, the people's president, that they want to go after. Bob Menendez comes back to America with pockets full of gold bullion, cars full of gold bullion. Henry Kralar, same story. And do they go to prison? Do they have to sit in a New York courtroom for days? No, only Donald Trump. So I think that that's the real source of frustration here. And whether you like Donald Trump or not, or his policies or not, or his presidency or not, to me, that's going to be the reaction. That's going to be the source of frustration. This, that somehow the American people are supposed to believe that Donald Trump is the only person in politics to ever be corrupt. Of all the corrupt politicians we've had, the thousands in Congress and in the White House and everything else, but it's Donald Trump that they get. To me, that's going to be the source of frustration from the American people. I feel like that's my source of frustration here.
Well, I'll tell you what, if Joe Biden can win campaigning from his basement, Donald Trump can win campaigning from a jail cell. They have made a terrible mistake here. I'm now worried at this stage, this has escalated to level two, where I'm worried about things like false flags, where they could use this as an excuse to do something violent, Fed-backed, Fed-catalyzed, and then blame it on right-wing Americans. That's what I'm worried about, because there are a lot of Americans today, tens of millions of Americans today, who are incredibly frustrated and wondering what the founding fathers would do and wondering what they should do as Americans. And we have to remain peaceful and not fall for any of these false flag operations that I think might be underway.
Brian, do you think the American people realize that the times we're living in yet? I mean, this is truly so epic. It's hard to even encapsulate what we're witnessing here. I mean, this is how corrupt our country is. There's no other way to put it. This is the most corrupt time in American history. Do you think that the people get that now?
You know, I had a guest on my show recently named Jim Rickards, and he coined this term lawfare, and it's something I'd never really heard ever in the history of broadcasting for me. And it's this concept of using the law now as an instrument of war. And that's exactly what we're seeing. And now we've seen really the first instant of that being successfully used. Trump always talks about the banana republics using these things, and now it's actually happening in the good old United States of America. Honestly, it's embarrassing. I live abroad, and when people look to us, they look at this as the place of freedom, the place of democracy, the place of transparency. And now we've just shown the world that someone with an agenda can now convict someone really just with the agenda. The justice system means nothing. I would say this is only going to widen the margin for Trump, and technically he can be elected while being in jail. And so as long as something doesn't happen to him to jeopardize his safety, you would argue maybe this is a net positive for Trump's odds of winning the presidential election. Whether that's palatable to us or not, that's probably a true fact.
Guys, put Trump's statement back up on the screen. I want to read this out loud. This was posted by Donald Trump on Truth Social moments ago. My civil rights have been totally violated with this highly political, unconstitutional, and election interfering witch hunt. Our failing nation is being laughed at all over the world. I can only imagine what's going through his mind now as well. I mean, it's crazy to think, but would they put him in jail? I mean, I think that's kind of what we're wondering right now. Are they going to put him in jail?
They're going to put him in jail, man. And we've made this mistake.
They want it so badly.
We've made this mistake here where we always think that if we show any grace, it's going to be reciprocated down the road, whether it's in our own lawsuits or litigation. If we show any goodwill, it's going to come back and they'll show goodwill on the other side. No. These people are not going to show any goodwill. I mean, it's like with you, right? Wasn't there a deal in your case? And just stop me if I'm not supposed to say anything on air about this.
We can talk about that.
They assured you that verbally that they were not going to put you in prison if you gave over your cell phone. So out of goodwill, right? Didn't you give?
Well,
you gave
them
that information
exactly verbally. My lawyer said his biggest regret was not getting it in writing. We've got the live. We can talk more about that. Yeah, assuming that the government's acting in good faith is a mistake that you should never make.
Yes, that's my point.
Yeah. Guys, give me back the live feed outside of the courtroom there. It looks like Trump's team is exiting. Perhaps Donald Trump will be soon. You see one of his campaign managers there, Caroline Leavitt. So we're monitoring the scenes here. I guess, we'll see if he's in a jumpsuit or not. He won't be in a jumpsuit, but maybe they'll cuff him. Yeah, there he is. There's Trump right there speaking to some of his team and his lawyers just behind that door. I would imagine he'll make a public statement. I would imagine he'll go to the press. There's Eric Trump right there as well. I would imagine he's going to go to the press, if not now, eventually. before he leaves the courthouse. Alina Haba there as well. So speaking to his attorneys, probably deciding what he's going to say or when he's going to say it. And obviously Trump has been gagged. So who knows? Maybe they're trying to make a decision right now about, well, if you go out and speak, they'll throw you in prison. Okay, so Trump not cuffed, approaching the media now to make statements after being found guilty on all 34 counts in the most rigged, corrupt trial, perhaps in definitely modern U.S. history, maybe all U.S. history, Donald J. Trump.
This was a disgrace. This was a rigged trial by a conflicted judge who was corrupt. It's a rigged trial, a disgrace. They wouldn't give us a venue change. We were at 5% or 6% in this district, in this area. This was a rigged, disgraceful trial. But the real verdict is going to be November 5th by the people. And they know what happened here, and everybody knows what happened here. You have a sore respect, DA. And the whole thing, we didn't do a thing wrong. I'm a very innocent man, and it's okay. I'm fighting for our country. I'm fighting for our Constitution. Our whole country is being rigged right now. This was done by the Biden administration in order to wound or hurt an opponent, a political opponent. And I think it's just a disgrace. And we'll keep fighting. We'll fight till the end, and we'll win, because our country's gone to hell. We don't have the same country anymore. We have a divided mess. We're a nation in decline, serious decline. Millions and millions of people pouring into our country right now from prisons and from mental institutions, terrorists, and they're taking over our country. We have a country that's in big trouble. But this was a rigged decision right from day one with a conflicted judge who should have never been allowed to try this case, never. And we will fight for our Constitution. This is long from over. Thank you very much.
Why did voters go over it? Are you going to
drop out?
Alex Jones now joining us in studio. We're going to get all the breakdowns from this. Trump not in cuffs, so I guess that means they're not going to put him in jail tonight. Alex Jones, your first response.
Well, this is real tyranny, and this is lawfare, and we knew this was coming. And the judge thought maybe the jury would find him not guilty, so he said just find him guilty no matter what. This is true war against our country. This shows they're going for absolute, totally broke, and that everybody is in extreme danger. We want to be peaceful. We don't want any responses that are violent. We're not going to do that. I would expect false flags. I would expect them to stage some things saying angry Trump did it, that they may have some mentally ill people. They may totally stage it. Think the Governor Whitmer situation. So that's where we are. I know we just launched London Real's big film about We Will Not Be Silenced. We've got that to talk about, but obviously you guys will give analysis. You probably want to open the phones up for people's responses about this. But this is a historic situation that we are witnessing right now. This is the death of our republic in our face. Absolute total weaponization. But it's going to backfire just like all the fake indictments. But that is what these people are doing, and they are sick, and there's nothing that they won't do. And this is just the beginning of their tyranny. We have the lawyers of America that believe they own this country at war with the people. They work for the globalists. George Soros has put over 1,000 DAs, over 20 of the U.S. attorneys or of the state attorney generals are under his control. Most of the U.S. attorneys are under Biden's control. In fact, all of them. So this is war against the people. Brian Rose, you guys have a response to this. I'm going to be doing more analysis, popping back in as this unfolds.
We'll open up the phone lines as well, and we'll skip a bunch of the breaks here, too. We do have to take some breaks here, network breaks, but we'll skip the ones we can to get as much content in covering this and phone calls. You know, this is such a unpleasant reminder of how corrupt our country is, and I don't know how else to put it. It's a very unpleasant, rude punch in the face of just how corrupt our country is. I mean, it's to think that this is what they can do to anybody. They'll do it to Trump. They'll do it to me. They'll do it to Alex Jones. They'll do it to anybody. And they just don't care, folks. I mean, this is not the republic. This is not justice. And really, I think it's a sinking feeling. I have a sinking feeling in my stomach, Brian. I don't know about you. It's a sinking feeling to know that we have these types of people, corrupt people like this, that are willing to just destroy everything.
Yeah, I'm just looking at some of the faces on the street there, and you kind of you see this incredulous look from these bystanders that just are probably having a hard time processing that this could happen to a former sitting president, and this watching this right in front of our eyes play out. The next move they make, it needs to be a very intelligent one, and we need to be really careful about the events that happen next. It's a volatile situation, and I just don't even know what they're going to do next here. Putting him in Rikers overnight, I don't think of anything that's more incendiary right now to a situation that's already very tense.
Well, the fact he walked out of the courtroom tells me they're not going to do that. So it'll likely be that, you know, they are going to appeal it. They'll probably try to issue a massive fine. They might talk about jail time, but they're not going to be holding him until they make that decision. And I just, again, it's just a sinking feeling. It's just a totally sinking feeling, a harsh reminder of how corrupt our government is, how sick and twisted the Democrat Party is. And it's almost like, you know, yeah, we can talk about, it's good for Trump's poll numbers, whatever, but it's like, it doesn't even matter. When you're dealing with corruption like this, they're not going to let him win an election. I mean, to me, it's just like, now it's just like, if they're willing to do that, they're not going to let him win an election. I don't know what kind of crap they'll pull to steal it again. Seriously. I mean, I'm just at a loss. And I don't know why I'm surprised. It's just to see it, to witness it, and to feel it. It's just, you're just at a loss.
It's a bit like a loss of innocence. You know, you never get it back. And I think we're witnessing that. We can't go back from here. This will always be the new world, the new America. And I think that saddens probably even the people that were part of this decision.
It makes me ashamed of my country, you know? It makes me sick. It makes me really ashamed. And you know what's crazier about it? You know what the craziest part I think about this whole thing, Brian? As you look at the street, you mentioned seeing people on the street. You look at all the police officers out there and the bystanders in the media. Every person knows that this is illegitimate. Every single person out there knows this whole thing is a sham, and yet it's like we're powerless. One corrupt judge and then a criminal cabal of Democrats have conquered the American people.
And here's the other realization that's happening right now is the people that made this happen or wanted this to happen are having a really somber moment because they have to be careful what they just wished for. And again, the republic that they supposedly loved, they have to know now that it's never going to be the same again. So, yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of that feeling going forward. It's just hard to watch.
And I'm trying to think of all the ramifications now. And I'm going to give out the phone number before we take a break. But, you know, okay, let's try to find a silver lining perhaps. Okay, let's go through the dark tunnel. Now let's think about a silver lining. I think for Trump to have to experience this is probably as bad as it is. It's going to make it a lot more real to him. It's going to change his perspective on things and probably put him into a headspace that he hadn't been before. And maybe that's a good thing. You know, Brian, I also think that this is going to send the mainstream media, definitely the conservative right-wing side, and maybe even elements of the left, this is going to send the mainstream media closer to InfoWars than they've ever been before. That's how obviously corrupt this case is. This is going to be a slap in the face to mainstream media who wants to pretend that, oh, it's just normal America. Oh, everything's fine. Everything's dandy. Everything's cool. Do your news pieces, read the teleprompter and go home. That ain't it anymore. This is going to be a big reality check, I think, for the mainstream news. They're going to have to realize, yeah, you know what? Maybe those conspiracy theorists, maybe those tinfoil hat wearers over there at InfoWars, you know, maybe their attitude, maybe their vibe, maybe that was the right one this whole time. And if this doesn't show you that, I don't know what will. You know, Biden getting vote Viagra in 5 states at 3:30 in the morning doesn't do it. I don't know. I mean, how does this not do it? All right, the phone number, we're going to take calls, live coverage of this as more news comes out. 877-789-2539. 877-789-2539. Responses to Trump being found guilty on all 34 charges. Shocking, to say the least.
cardiovascular system is under attack. Everybody knows it. And I've got in my hands two products that are absolutely insane when it comes to what they do for your body and your overall health. One of them is the highest grade fish oil you can find. Everybody knows how good fish oil is. This is as good as it gets. And when you purchase it at InfoWarsStore.com, you support the broadcast of 360 Win. And then, of course, Nitric Boost. You've heard all the rage about this. A whole bunch of concentrated natural compounds that clean out your blood and clean out your cardiovascular system. Everybody should be taking both of these products at InfoWarsStore.com. And both of them, by the way, are 40% off for a limited time. Now, this sale's going to end in about 2 weeks because we've already sold out of more than half of these products since they came back in. But if you want to get Ultimate Fish Oil and Nitric Boost for 40% off, get them both today at InfoWarsStore.com. I want to thank you all for supporting the broadcast. I want to thank you all for spreading the word because without you, we are nothing. A lot of listeners have complained in the last 2 years that our amazing high-quality coffee has not been available. And that's because the prices went up too high for the raw beans and the quality had gone down some. I turned down so many companies that wanted to work with us. But now we have brought back the coffee, and it's even better from a national supplier that's veteran-owned and veteran-operated. It's powered by the company Minuteman Coffee. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the best-tasting, best-smelling, strongest coffee that I have ever drank. It is game-changing. All you got to do is buy a bag of it and try it. I know you're going to be hooked, which will then fund your operation, A360 Win. Go to InfoWarsStore.com right now for Escape the Prison Planet Light Roast. That's the strongest. The amazing Medium Roast Wake Up America. And finally, the best-tasting Dark Roast Tip of the Spear, now exclusively available at InfoWarsStore.com. Get your coffee now. This is so, so important. Please remember, ladies and gentlemen, we're listener supported. Your purchases at InfoWarsStore.com allow this powerful, game-changing information on the air, and they're really great products. InfoWarsStore.com. Mineral Fusion sold out, but a little bit more is coming in a few weeks, so that's a bummer. But Nitric Boost cleans out your blood, still good for your heart, your brain, everything. It is back in stock, 40% off. There is, of course, a lot of other great products like the Ultimate Fish Oil, highest grade of fish oil at a great price. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, so good for your cardiovascular system, so good for your sleep. It's available as well at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139. While you're there, get 10-hour clean energy that is amazing. Turbo Force at InfoWarsStore.com as well. Get a copy of one of my two newest books, The Great Reset and the War for the World, and the newest one, The Great Awakening, The Plan to Defeat the Globalists and Launch the Next Great Renaissance. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in a war against the globalist, and people can't identify who's a patriot and who isn't. We want to identify as pro-human and anti-globalist. We want to let people know we're 1776 Part 2. That's why I designed this amazing 1776 red, white, and blue Gadsden flag shirt so you can support the InfoWar and meet like-minded people everywhere when you wear it. When you wear these shirts, it creates an amazing amount of energy, and it's quite the adventure. So get your 1776 shirt right now at InfoWarsStore.com and get your Team Humanity InfoWars limited edition shirt right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, this is antithetical, the complete opposite of what the globalists are pushing. So get both the Team Humanity and the 1776 Gadsden Snake Shirts limited edition at InfoWarsStore.com right now. Spread the word, meet like-minded people, and fund the 1776 revolution worldwide.
Infowars.com/show.
It's time to take a stand. This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Share this message right now at bams.video.
All right, in case you're just tuning in, Trump found guilty all 34 charges. Totally rigged case. Trump's not the one that belongs in prison. It's Hillary Clinton. It's the deep state. It's everybody that did this to him. And it's just hard to even grasp just how corrupt our country is. I mean, this is just, you know, just another example of it. The sentencing is going to be July 11th. That's just days before the convention, the Republican convention, where Trump is assumed to be nominated. So they're obviously not going to hold him in prison until the sentencing. But that's when we find out what the punishment will be, July 11th. I mean, what do you do? What is Trump's next move now? And can you imagine? Oh my gosh, this is going to be such a sick, disgusting display from the liberal media tonight that just hates Trump so much. They're going to be celebrating this corruption. They're going to be celebrating this political persecution. My God. The only hope, if you look for the positive on the other side of this, is that the Democrat Party has to be eradicated politically. It cannot exist anymore. They can't have any political power. A Democrat should not be on a bench, a teacher, nothing. These people have been completely deranged politically. But see, there's no doubt that they want to use this and try to have another January 6th moment and mop up a bunch of other Trump supporters and mop up a bunch of other media people and then say, oh, you caused violence, we're arresting you. So obviously nobody here has ever called for violence, but that doesn't matter. I sit in D.C. and try to stop January 6th from happening, and then they say, oh, I did January 6th, you're going to jail. So that's how corrupt this is. Doesn't matter that we're on tape saying, don't go in the building, stop this, it'll be used against us. Then they just say, nope, Schroyer, you're going to prison. So we're going to start taking calls on this. Maybe we'll be hearing from some other guests, some other lawyers as well. Big scenes outside, a bunch of Trump supporters outside. And we have Roger Stone on the line. Is he on the phone or he's on Skype with us? All right. My former co-host, able to join me live. Roger, I don't have anything special to pitch to you. Just what's your response?
I just got Roger on. This is an amazing moment. This is a historical moment of incredible tyranny showing the deep state is absolutely going for broke. Roger Stone, Trump, all 34 counts in the most kangaroo court ever, with the judge literally telling them to illegally disregard everything, just find him guilty. Roger Stone.
Alex, sadly, I'm not shocked nor am I surprised. I've already seen this movie. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Roger.
I apologize. This is like when Kennedy was shot. This is a moment that every American is going to remember. Sadly, I'm not shocked. I've seen this movie before. With the gagging of Donald Trump, just as I was gagged by the judge refusing to recuse himself, despite the fact that he was a Biden donor. And that he was his daughter was making a fortune off of this trial, just as the judge in my case made prejudicial statements regarding me, refused to recuse herself. A refusal of a change of venue to a location where you might get a more balanced jury. The limitation of witnesses, saying that Donald Trump could not bring the former head of the Federal Election Commission in as an expert witness to say that these transactions had not violated federal election law, just as I was not allowed to bring Bill Binney, the former high-level counterintelligence IT expert from the CIA, in to prove that no one ever hacked the Democratic National Committee. So I see the same tyranny in this trial that I saw in my own trial. I guess in retrospect, I was the template for this. I was the test run. It didn't get much coverage because I'm not a former president, but the president has been subjected to the exact same.
And Roger, I want you to roll through that and have the floor here because this is viral. Viewers are watching. We're going to take this interview in a few minutes and post it to X as well. But what is the aftermath going to be of all of these show trials have backfired on the deep state? Now what is this obvious show trial conviction with the judge saying convict him no matter what to the jury? What is that going to do?
Well, Alex, I mean, first of all, one cannot poll within the eye of the storm. I see online people already have Insta polls out. Those appear to prove that the president has sustained no damage, that the American people have seen through this. But it's going to be a day or two. We also don't know whether, given the irregularities, there is some possibility of Trump appealing directly to the U.S. Supreme Court on due process issues. That's very rarely accepted, but they're very rarely we had a president of the United States in this circumstance.
Yeah, this is a constitutional crisis.
There's no question about it. And look, it's hard to digest. This all just happened. Like you, I haven't had a chance to read all of it, but I must say I'm not even remotely shocked. This baby was rigged. Trump could have
We talked a few days ago, and you said he's going to be convicted. It's New York. What the hell's wrong with these people?
Well, look, Trump could have had Clarence Darrow and Abraham Lincoln as his lawyers, and he still would have been convicted. This was a rigged deal from day one. Some people had false optimism that there were people on this jury who would look at the actual legal questions, but the trial structure was so rigged, Trump was so limited in what he could say. It was true that Michael Cohen was proven to be a liar on the stand. It was true that no evidence actually tying Trump himself to these bookkeeping transactions. I still don't think the government proved an underlying crime.
No, you're right, Roger. I mean, even liberal mainline analysts say it was a show trial. It was a fraud. The judge's instructions are unprecedented criminal activity, violate the law on its face. I'm asking you to go out on a limb. I don't think it's a limb. You and I predicted years ago all these fake show trials would backfire. I predict this will make him go up 5 more points. He's already 20 points ahead nationally, 13 in battleground states. I predict a 25-point lead now.
Well, from your mouth to God's ear, that has certainly been the trend here. On the other hand, the left has what they want. They wanted to be able to say Donald Trump is a convicted felon. That's for purposes of this upcoming CNN debate. They don't care that this will be.
They just want Biden to be. Oh, by the way, that's the other big one. Biden is set tonight to do a victory lap. Roger, can you respond?
Yeah, unbelievable. First of all, he should be keeping his distance from this. The reason he's not is because he can't help himself. This was orchestrated by people in his Justice Department and in his White House. You have, I hate to say it, but a racketeering conspiracy involving the state and federal prosecutors. The whole thing is driven by Biden. Trump is right when he says that. Crazy that this woman on Fox tried to claim otherwise. This was a political takedown. Alex, how many times have we played the bite on your show of them asking Biden how he feels about a rematch with Trump? And he says, I'm not worried about it. We're going to use the Constitution so he can't run. There it is right there.
Absolutely. And by the way, I've got a statement from the Biden-Harris-Obama third administration here. I'm going to read this on air. Biden-Harris campaign statement on today's verdict. Below is a statement from Biden-Harris 2024 communications director Michael Taylor on today's verdict. In New York today, we saw no one is above the law. My God, that's rich. Donald Trump has always mistakenly believed he would never face consequences for breaking the law for his own personal gain. But today's verdict does not change the fact that the American people face a simple reality. There is still only one way to keep Donald Trump out of the Oval Office, at the ballot box, convicted felon or not. Trump will be the Republican nominee for president. So they're capitulating to that. The threat Trump poses to our democracy has never been greater. That's why they want him off the ballot. He is running an incredibly unhinged campaign of revenge and retribution. That's what they're doing. Pledging to be a dictator one day. That's all out of context. And calling for the Constitution to be terminated. That's not even true. So he can reign and keep power. A second Trump turn means chaos, ripped America freedoms, and fomenting political violence, which they're going to stage riots when he's president-elect. And the American people will reject it in November. Wow. Let me get Roger Stone's take and then Owen Schroyer's.
first of all, an admission here that Donald Trump is still formidable. So they're basically saying, even despite this, you know, we're going to have to stop him from becoming president. So they already recognize the backfire here. And then just a constant recitation of their phony talking points. They are the ones who are a threat to democracy. They're the ones trying to lock up their leading political opponent. They are the ones spying on 178,000 Americans without search warrants. They are the ones seeking to censure free speech, censor free speech on the internet and in all modes of communication. They are the authoritarians. They are the threat to democracy. Today's conviction just proves that.
Roger, we're looking it up now, but I saw it 2 days ago. Biden said he will do an Oval Office address, normally reserved for war, tonight. So, guys, check it. They may change it if he's, you know, too doped up. But what do you expect Roger Stone to hear out of the puppet Biden?
Look, I think he's going to do what he always does. He's going to launch an attack on Donald Trump and the voters who support him. The attack on his supporters is almost as vile as the attack on him. Referring to Trump supporters as deplorable, as Hillary Clinton did, is a perfect example. This vilification of MAGA Republicans, vilifying people whose sin seems to be that they want to put their own country first. It is dangerous. It is divisive. This is the politics of fear. This is the politics of violence. They're the ones actually advocating violence, all the while they claim that we are doing it.
Well, that's
that.
Right. And, Roger, let me add that next big point. I want you to continue on here. We're going to take this live feed and put it on my X account in like 5 minutes. I want you to continue on. You're gracious to be with us. This huge news breaks. Obviously, you'll talk to Trump tonight. You'll be able to come back on with us tomorrow on my show and Owen's show, the other shows. Here at InfoWars, while we're still here, very dark days. But I want to have a cautionary alert here. I am viscerally angry. I am physically angry over this because my rights are being robbed to vote for who I want. This is a tyranny. It's like having your house robbed, but far worse, or your children raped. We have to be very careful. If I was the deep state, they will stage some false flags, provocateur something, like the failed Whitmer kidnapping that came out in court was staged and made up by the FBI, or January 6th. I'm very concerned about them provocateuring something. We should get ahead of this and say, no violence. This is going to backfire. We do not support any violence. Roger Stone.
You're absolutely right, Alex, that much of this is meant to provoke people. People cannot be provoked. Again, we still don't know all of the ramifications. We don't know, for example, when sentencing will be. We don't know whether Trump is theoretically going to be confined to home and confinement, which would certainly cramp his campaign style, which is really their goal, or whether he'll even be allowed to remain at liberty pending appeal. That is not automatic, not with this wildly partisan judge. So I think we have to let this play out over the next couple of days. I suspect you're going to have a surge of millions of dollars into Trump's campaign coffers, which is important because Biden has been outraising him, although last month Trump did outraise Biden. But overall, when you include the party committees, they've outraised us. So that's
well, let's be clear. They've got billionaires. We've got small people, more to be for Trump. By the way, the numbers are in. It's now a July 11th sentencing date. Roger Stone.
Again, a lot will be determined between then and now. What do they do with the Secret Service in the event that they elect to send him to Rikers Island? Does he get two agents to go there with him? I mean, this makes very little sense. They know this will be overturned. They don't care. The point was to get the headlines, to get the moniker, so they can now gloat about it. And the fact that they were only in for 11 hours on a 34-count indictment, experienced criminal defense lawyers tell me if there was serious consideration, Weeks. They'd have been in there for a week. But
so let's
there wasn't.
Stop there. Let me ask you this. You know the big guy, the real big guy, not Joe Biden, the 10% of the big guy. How is Trump going to respond to this?
Look, I'm sure that he is disappointed, but I also think he's a realist. He said every day in the hallway for the last week, this is rigged, folks. This is rigged. I'm not being allowed to put on a defense. The whole thing is rigged. The judge is corrupt. I mean, he's saying some of these things, I think, in violation of the gag order, paying the fines because they've sought to silence his voice. But look, you know what he's like. He's a brawler. He's going to be resilient. He's going to be angry. But he's going to be more committed than ever. He's already said in many interviews he was ready for this. Remember, he said, if I have to go to jail for the Constitution, I'm ready to do that. He's already said it. So we know how he feels.
Well, we can imagine what the debate's going to be like. And Biden's announcement tonight, which he said he'd make, we're checking to see if he's still going to do it. I mean, this is going to be, I predict now, in fact, it's not a prediction, I know this is going to backfire. Because America is awake, and they see what's going on, and even my own persecution, it's nothing compared to Trump or Rogers, that was horrible, but still not as bad as Trump's. The people have rallied to us seeing through this. I predict this is their Waterloo. I predict that they've really, really screwed the pooch here, Roger.
I think they have overreached. Everybody, including those on the left, knew this was their weakest case. I think they failed to prove their case. Based on what I've read, there are rare instances where there's a due process violation. If, in fact, you had different people for different charges, that remains to be seen. They said, again, that he was convicted on all 34 charges. That would mean the jury had to be anonymous. That tells you something right there in 11 hours. 11 hours. So,
and this is the first president in history indicted like this, and the Democrats admit to take him out of the game. Absolutely insane. Roger, keep going for a few minutes. I want Owen to pop in. I'm going to go make sure this gets cut out right now and put up on Real Alex Jones on X. We might do an X simulcast right now. We're already video simulcasting, maybe an X Spaces, because this is huge. People need to respond. This is historical.
I'm always happy to be on with the great Owen Schroyer.
Owen, what's your take on this?
Well, I wonder what they're going to do, because they obviously don't want Trump campaigning. They saw that massive rally he had in the Bronx. They don't want the optics of that ever again. And then Biden goes to Philadelphia, literally can't fill a high school.
Yes, they have
gymnasium.
Big enough balls to put an ankle bracelet on him. They probably do it.
I mean, sentencing being July 11th, there's probably some agreements between what he can and can't do now and then to remain out of prison. It's normally how it goes. So I don't know what those agreements are. Roger, do you care to speculate?
Yeah, no, you raise an excellent point. There are conditions of probation, and they can be as strict as the judge wants them to be.
But this is naked election meddling. Why, he needs to challenge it. I think he will.
Well, I there is a way to do that based on everything I have read. Very rare that the U.S. Supreme Court will hear it, but they do have authority to reach down to any court, state or federal, when there's a violation of due process, which I think has been the case here.
Well, and I guess considering the debates are coming up as well, that okay, sorry. So yeah, I'm guessing here that one of the motives is to keep Trump off the campaign trail. I mean, there's no doubt about that. This is all being run from the White House, at least to a certain extent, with the judge's daughter getting hundreds of millions of dollars from the Democrats. I mean, I'm sure that's not a coincidence that that's what's going on here. But do you think that they just cancel a debate? I mean, what do they do next? Because there's so many different things on the table right now.
No, they're not going to want to cancel a debate. This is the centerpiece of their defense strategy. Pardon me, of their debate strategy. This is all about Joe Biden being able to say to Donald Trump, "You're a convicted felon." Correct response would be, of course, and Joe, you should be and you will be soon enough. Because the House Republicans, just this past week, more evidence of Joe Biden meeting with the Chinese, ironically at a Sandy Hook Memorial event, cutting a $10 million a year deal for the Biden crime family. So there's plenty there. Trump's best tactic is to turn this around on him. He can negate this trial by denouncing it as rigged, but then he can spin immediately on to the vulnerabilities of Hunter and Joe and Jim Biden, which are actually genuine, egregious financial and tax crimes. They may even involve treason.
Well, that's why this is also Twilight Zone, especially when you see that Biden-Harris statement, which, by the way, I wouldn't be surprised if the guy that released that statement is fired. This has happened multiple times with the Biden White House where they just get some rogue member of their team to make a statement that never got approved because these people are just completely off the chain. So they might even come out and say, oh, we didn't mean to release that. I mean, that's how bad this is. But it's also Twilight Zone. Like you said, Biden is the one that's committed the crimes. Biden is the one that's above the law. Hillary Clinton is the one with FEC ethics violations. The exact ones that they're claiming Trump did. I mean, literally Hillary Clinton did it, Roger. She was never in court.
Yeah, no, that's the first thing I thought when I read the statement. I heard the statement from the Biden-Harris campaign. Nobody's above the law except for Hillary Clinton, except for Andrew McCabe, except for John Brennan, except for James Comey, except for John Podesta. Nobody is against the law except for Eric Holder. Those people are above the law. That's the real irony here. And you're right. Hillary Clinton did exactly this. She paid for opposition research, a dirty dossier that was completely fraud. She got defrauded. And she cloaked it as legal expenses in her Federal Election Commission report. And she was fined, I believe it was $8,000. And the party was fined $100,000 for this illegal bookkeeping error. There's not even evidence that what Trump did rises to the level of a Federal Election Commission crime. But Trump couldn't prove that to the jury because the judge prevented the leading campaign finance law expert in the country from testifying on behalf of Trump. Just another example of how the trial was rigged.
Now, again, we don't know what the probation agreements. Certainly there's something out there, and maybe the legal documents will be made public, or Trump's team will publish them. But there's certainly some ramifications with dealing with probation until sentencing. That's just kind of standard protocol. And the fact that he's not in cuffs right now going to jail would tell me that there's probably some strict limitations either on his speech or more importantly on his travel. To me, Roger, I think the smartest move for Trump would be he needs to announce a rally and have it as soon as possible, maybe in New York City, because they probably won't let him travel anywhere. I doubt he's under house arrest, but maybe they're saying he can't leave the district or something. I mean, to me, take this momentum and have the biggest rally that New York City has ever seen.
You know what? Now may be the moment for Madison Square Garden. The president's been talking about having an event in Madison Square Garden. He is the one human being, this transcends politics. He's the one human being in the country who could actually fill Madison Square Garden, and now might be the time. Also, I should tell you, if I were him, I would use this occasion, as he did with his mugshot, to go briefly up on X to say what he has to say.
Yeah, no doubt now is the time, if he's going to utilize that with a short report or something else. But yeah, Madison Square Garden, he has the momentum of this, all eyes on him. He could fill the arena. It puts the challenge back onto the Biden campaign, who just failed to fill a high school gymnasium in Philadelphia. I mean, if Biden can't fill a high school gymnasium in Philadelphia and Trump fills the Madison Square Garden, then all they have is these corrupt trials. All right, Brian Rose in studio, Roger Stone with me. We have to take this break. It's a short break, and we'll be right back with your phone calls and any other breaking news we have from this decision today.
I talk a lot about the great successes InfoWars has had. I don't think anybody can deny it. And it is because of listeners and viewers supporting us. When we talk about the crew at InfoWars, people behind the scenes, the researchers, the writers, they really have been the MVPs in this fight. And when we look at Harrison Smith and Owen Schroyer and the hard work they engage in every day, 5, 6, 7 days a week, it's really just incredible. So for myself, the whole InfoWars crew, I thank you for your past support. And I want to encourage you now to realize that InfoWars cannot stay on air if you do not support us. I know you spread the word. I know you pray for us, and that's wonderful. Keep doing it. But most viewers and listeners never go to InfoWarsStore.com, and you never buy great products that enrich and empower your life while at the same time keep us on air. I know that less than 1% of our listeners actually go buy products at InfoWarsStore.com. If just 1% more of you took action and went to InfoWarsStore.com, our funding problems will be over. Please take action now.
Let me take some brain force and then we'll do this commercial. How about that? I can think again. This is the liquid tincture version of Brain Force, which means you can really tailor it to exactly what you need. I tend to take maybe a little bit more than is directed, but it's incredibly powerful stuff, and I have an incredibly demanding job. But you make it easy by going to InfoWarsStore.com, and of course InfoWarsStore.com makes it easy by supplying me with Brain Force Ultra. I rely on this product to do my job on a daily basis because it's absolutely jam-packed with incredible ingredients. Brain Force Ultra is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, and get it now because this stuff sells out fast for very good reason. It's a fantastic supplement. It's the type of supplement that once you start taking it, well, you're going to notice if you stop. Go check out what's in Brain Force Ultra. Do your own research, and what you'll find is that this is a powerhouse formula for incredible mental clarity, focus, and energy. Now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com. Brain Force Ultra is now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com.
Infowars.com/show.
Delving deep into the heart of globalist plans, it's Owen Schroyer.
You know, if Trump was guilty and he actually had a justice system, then it wouldn't be as gut-wrenching, soul-sinking as a moment. But when Joe Biden and the Biden crime family get away with all their crimes, when Hillary Clinton gets away with all her crimes, when no Epstein clients are in court or being arrested, I mean, you know, the list just goes on and on and on. There is no justice. That's the most clear, obvious examples to show that this is all political persecution against Donald Trump. Alex is filing some special reports. He'll be rejoining us. We're about to go to some phone calls as well. Brian Rose in the studio. Brian, you've had a little more time to palate this. What's going through your mind?
You know, I'm really wondering what's going on in the mind of Donald Trump. You know, we saw his mood when he walked out. I mean, obviously, you know, not his chipper, defiant self, but also not a totally defeated man. I'm wondering what you saw there. It clearly bothered him, even though he must have been expecting this. You know, he's known as a man to bounce back. Dana White recently said the only time he saw him down was when his former wife passed away. Usually he bounces back from everything. I'm curious, what do you think? Will he recover back to the normal self, or is this something cuts a little bit deeper than everything else he's been through this year?
You know, it's a great observation and question. And I would say from somebody who's been on the receiving end of what Trump just went through in a corrupt case, there's a realness to it. When the decision comes down, there's a realness to it. It hits differently, even if you're expecting it. I mean, you can expect, you know, the right hook from Mike Tyson, but when it lands and makes contact, you know, it's real now. It's real. So it shakes you. There's no denying it shakes you. The next 24 hours, I think, you know, whatever Trump does next, obviously it was a brief statement that he made there in front of the media. But I think maybe we'll get a better tell on where Trump's head is at with whatever statement he releases next or whatever he does next. But it just, like I said, it's real, man. It's just, you go from dealing with, okay, I know it's rigged. I know it's rigged against me. I know they're all out to get me, everything. And then the conclusiveness of, you know, the finality of, yep, okay, they did it. They have the power to do it. It's 100% guaranteed. That's how corrupt they are. So it just kind of, it gets more real in that moment. And so I'm imagining that's kind of what Trump was being hit with, even though he expected it the entire time, to just get hit with the reality of it. It's, you know, that's kind of the humbling moment, if you will. And so I think that's what we saw from Trump when he left that room.
I mean, you and Alex and the team here, I mean, you're the only broadcaster that can even purport to have experienced something like this. I mean, a victim of lawfare. I mean, how do you mentally bounce back from something like that and not just run into this cynical spiral where you just say to hell with the world when I can't even try to do what I'm trying to do, what I know is right? Now, how do you bounce back from that? And I'm wondering if we can see some insight into someone like Trump bouncing back from that.
Well, I think he has to project confidence and positivity, as difficult as it may be. I would even leave the politics out of it for a minute and just say, you know, we're going to make the country better. We got a lot of problems with our country. It's very corrupt. But, you know, I'm going through this because I'm fighting for the country. I love the country. And I would try to stick to something like that. Maybe urge Americans to, obviously, well, I guess it's hard for him to urge Americans to do anything after the, what they did to him on January 6th when he says, be peaceful. And they say, look, he called for a riot. So they really got him in a box. But, I mean, I would even maybe take this Biden-Harris statement and double down on what he said outside of the room. I'm fighting for the Constitution. You know, I'm fighting for America. I love America. I want us to have a great economy. I want our energy to be released. I want your gas prices lower. I want the consumer price index to go down. You know, maybe find a way to insert a little motivational speech, like when you're going through hell, keep going, you know, stuff like that. So I don't know. I would try to remain positive, and I wouldn't even mention Biden. You know, I just talk about the American issues that people are thinking about.
You know, one thing he's been good about lately, and we didn't see this in his character 4 years ago, is he's been really trying to bring people together. And you see this tone where he's saying, you know, we got to come together and I'm not going to go after certain people. And I'm wondering if you can keep that same tone in the face of what just happened today.
Well, I guess that's the decision, right?
Yeah.
Do you come now? Do you actually come out and say, no, I'm running my revenge tour? Or now do you come out and say, I just want to unify the country? I guess, you know, there's a split decision to be had there. We'll be right back.
Your cardiovascular system is under attack. Everybody knows it. And I've got in my hands two products. They're absolutely insane when it comes to what they do for your body and your overall health. One of them is the highest grade fish oil you can find. Everybody knows how good fish oil is. This is as good as it gets. And when you purchase it at InfoWarsStore.com, you support the broadcast of 360 Win. And then, of course, Nitric Boost. You've heard all the rage about this. A whole bunch of concentrated natural compounds that clean out your blood and clean out your cardiovascular system. Everybody should be taking both of these products at InfoWarsStore.com. And both of them, by the way, are 40% off for a limited time. Now, this sale's going to end in about 2 weeks because we've already sold out of more than half of these products since they came back in. But if you want to get Ultimate Fish Oil and Nitric Boost for 40% off, get them both today at InfoWarsStore.com. I want to thank you all for supporting the broadcast. I want to thank you all for spreading the word, because without you, we are nothing.
The beacon of truth in a world of deceit. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
We're going to take some phone calls here. Owen Schroyer, Brian Rose in studio, InfoWars World Headquarters in Austin, Texas. I mean, this is... This is so crazy. So they do this to Trump. Folks, they might just shut down InfoWars tomorrow. I mean, that's just how crazy it is here. And it's like, that's just kind of the vibe in the air. The Democrats are going for one-party control. We're dealing with total corrupt tyrants. And this is their big message. This is their big message to Donald Trump. This is their big message to the American people. There's a criminal cabal that runs American politics. And there's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing even Donald Trump can do about it. They'll steal an election, and then they'll try to throw him in prison. So, I mean, again, to me, the wake-up call now is to the mainstream media. And I've been on air, so I've been able to see their reaction here. The one brief break we took, I did go into the break room just to see some reactions from the media. And, I'd say they're starting to sound more like InfoWars. I'd say they're starting to kind of sound more like InfoWars, and you know, maybe some instincts are finally kicking in about how bad it really is. Some survival instincts are starting to kick in about how bad it really is, the reality of it all, because this is just so obvious. But I want to take calls here. We're also going to be joined by Aviva Fry in about half an hour as well. And we might be hearing from some other attorneys, but we got callers on the line responding to this. And let's start with Bobby in New Jersey. Bobby, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, can you hear me? Hi. Thanks for taking my call, Owen, and it's an honor, and I truly appreciate your sacrifice. I was surprised, though, you of all people. But then I kind of understand that could be kind of PTSD triggering in, but just how surprised, because this is like your guys' reaction was so, I guess it is shocking. Maybe it hasn't hit me yet, but we knew they were this corrupt. You should know these people are this evil, these morons, at least at the district level, with like the judge, and definitely this jury was hand selected in front of our eyes. We knew the only thing they needed help on was how to fill out the damn form.
And yeah, the judge basically coached them on how to find Trump guilty. I mean, the judge. Yeah, well, let me respond to the first thing you said real quick. Let me respond to that real quick, and because I was actually just talking to Brian about that in the break. And it's not that I'm surprised. It's that there's always something in you. You can't help it. There's just always something in you that keeps a hope, even if it's like a 0.1%, like maybe someone will do the right thing. Maybe they'll do the right thing. Maybe there's still hope here. And so maybe you just cling to that instead of the negative. But it's like going into the ring with Mike Tyson. It's like, yeah, okay, I know I'm going in the ring with Mike Tyson. I'm going to take a right hook. But then you take the right hook. And then, boom, that's the right hook. Yep, you just felt it. It's real. And so it's the finality of it. It's the reality of it hitting your jaw and feeling it. And so that's kind of the moment I think Trump is in and I think that we're all in. It's not that we didn't know Mike Tyson's right hook wasn't heading towards our face. Now it's just landed. And so that's kind of the shock of it.
But I guess my point is, and it's overused, like the Obi-Wan Kenobi moment. And while listening, waiting, I came to be more aptly the metaphor of this is he just went in against the Balrog and said, "This you shall not pass." And we're sad there, crying little Frodo on the rock while he's falling. He's now in the most exciting part of these movies right now. And it's going to be the thing that he came out as he was Gandalf the Orange. Now he's going to be Gandalf the White. You know what I mean? And like you said, the media now has got to deal with their own. They just made a whole bunch of statements that they got to either somehow figure out how to about face on, which is going to be stupid looking for everybody else and more proving of it. Or everybody's going to say, have a come to Jesus moment and say, oh my gosh, we're going to lose this place. And
Well, that's what it is, exactly. That's what it is, Bobby. And I'm so glad you said that because that's what I'm trying to explain here. And, you know, this is why you made your documentary, which probably a great time to release it at the debut. You couldn't have timed it better, I'm sure. But it's the sense of urgency is what it is. It's the sense of urgency and nobody really has led in that regard like InfoWars has led. And that's kind of what separates InfoWars from the rest of the media. And so, but that's what I'm saying. If you're in the media now, specifically on the right wing, I mean, the left wing, you know, you'll have probably a bunch of people Jeffrey tubing themselves on air tonight over this deal. But if you're in the conservative media, the right wing media, you know, even a Trump supporter in the media, if you don't have a sense of urgency after this, what is it going to take? What is it going to take, Brian?
Yeah. Maybe this is the wake-up call. Maybe this is the silver lining that they're going to have to just start to see that we're going to need much more from them. And, again, it just really highlights what you guys have been always doing and what you've done. And yeah, it was the perfect time to drop our film on the Trump verdict, but it actually is the message of our film, how important it is to make sure that we're allowed to speak the truth and have these voices out there. And this is just a perfect example of that. And you can only hope that that will change the way that people report the news going forward. But again, hope is a strong word here.
All right, let's go to Ben in Virginia. Ben, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Owen, how you doing?
Good.
Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Okay, so I wanted to start this out with, I had two things that I wanted to say. So number one, I think that if they do get to a point where they can put Trump in jail, they need to figure out who's going to be his Secret Service detail, because that's like the most basic setup to be Epstein, in my opinion. That's what I think is going to happen if he goes to jail. I think they're going to try to kill him, and then that's probably why they keep saying, oh, we won't have to worry about anything because the Constitution will take care of this, is what Biden keeps saying. I think that's what's going to happen if they do make him go to jail.
Well, Secret Service has already made communications and plans with Rikers in case that goes on. And, we could go on forever talking about how this flow of power works. But, I mean, essentially the way it's supposed to go is once Trump gets into Rikers, Secret Service runs that prison. I mean, that's it. That's under Secret Service's jurisdiction. Everybody else is second banana to Secret Service. So, you know, I don't know if there's necessarily going to be a power struggle in that exchange, but Secret Service takes over that building the minute Trump goes in.
Perfect. Well, that's good for him at least. But then the other thing that I wanted to say is, I mean, I'm not calling for violence. Nobody's doing that on this show, obviously. But I think everybody in the back of their minds as an American has some little bit of peace in the back of their heads thinking, like, once this goes down, I mean, if it keeps going the way that it's going with all this persecution and all this crap, it's 1776 is going to happen again, and they're not going to – they can't take Trump away. It can't happen. Like, I don't think they understand what they're doing and the power that he has behind him. Like, yeah, there might be false flags and all that, but there's going to be a real one, and people are going to be – they're not going to realize what's going on, and I don't know. I just think that at some point the American people are going to be so sick and tired of this crap that they're just going to end up actually taking the government back over and take away, because it's too tyrannical.
Well, look, that's why January 6th was a pivotal moment, because there was a true organic millions of people that showed up peacefully. I mean, they didn't even find a single weapon, right? So, I mean, that was an organic event. A million people plus showed up to Washington, D.C. on January 6th in a peaceful demonstration to support the review of how the election went down and all the laws that were broken in order to get Biden in office, period. That's what happened. And then the involvement of the left or the feds or the Democrats, whatever, the implants that they had and the police or whoever else was in there embedded in the whole thing, Bowser standing down the National Guard, you know, that was because they wanted to own that moment that should have been ours. And they did. I mean, tip your cap. They did it. They owned that moment. That should have been our moment for a peaceful protest. I mean, the next Million Man March, and we would have reviewed the election laws that they broke, and who knows what happened. And they stole it from us, and they took it from us. So I don't know if it happens again as far as people mobilizing peacefully to show support for Donald Trump. But, you know, what you're getting at is people are just going to say, well, what else can we do? We either let our country get conquered. Because here's what it is. This is something nasty that's been laying beneath the surface that we've all known is there. Well, now it's surfaced. All right. Now it's surfaced and everybody can see what we got here. And it's total corruption in our government. It's total corruption of American politics. So that's what we're dealing with. And it's been embedded for so long. Trying to remove it in a political fashion is like brain surgery. So it's not going to be easy, but this is another reminder of how bad it is. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Robert in Florida. Robert, you're on the air. Go ahead. We'll get Robert here. One more time, guys. Robert, go ahead.
Thanks for all you guys do. I'll continue to support InfoWars till the end. DNA Force has helped me regain some functions in my hand, as Alex had a finger amputated kind of thing. I have the same thing. My points are quick. I think that this is more hysteria. I saw that Biden secretly allowed Ukraine to attack on Russian soil with U.S. weapons. This also is poking the bear as a U.S. bear to kick off a civil war. I mean, it's like we're watching a circus in lifetime. And I don't think the people understand the ramifications of a civil war. It's not just we march in and take the government back. Hundreds of thousands of people will die because of that.
Anything else?
That's it.
All right. Thank you for the call. Let's go to the other coast now. Matt Baker in California on the air. Matt Baker, go ahead.
Oh, man, it's disgusting, filthy, disgusting, grubby, slithering worms, Democrat scum. Do you feel like you just cheated on your wife? You got away with it, but now you got to wake up and you got to look at your wife. You got to look at this country in the morning. You filthy, dirty scum. You filth. Look at what you've done, you scum. Shame on you.
And I got to tell everyone, I've never donated any money to Trump campaign. I'm going to donate $100 right now. I want every single person to blow up his account with so much money that in the morning they come out like, oh, my God, he just got $1 billion because of this. We have to make it a giant victory. I'm also going to go back and I'm going to flip my flag upside down. And I'm about to go do some man on the street reporting. This is a dark, dark day. It is disgusting. It is deep. It is dark. It is cold, like ice running through the veins of America. You scum! Look what you've done!
Yeah, there's no doubt that... How could I rephrase that? You talk about it's like you just cheated on your wife and now you have to go look her in the eye. Everybody knows how corrupt this judge was. Everybody knows how corrupt... I mean, if they can't hide it anymore. It's out there. It's out there. You know, it's like everybody... It's like if you... You know, your wife is throwing all your clothes outside the bedroom window into the lawn and just keyed your car. And the neighbors are like, well, what's going on? Oh, yeah, he cheated on me. I mean, everybody knows how corrupt they are. This isn't a secret deal anymore. It's like we know the players. We know who's corrupt and they just get away with it.
And Elon Musk
in our spaces right now. So as soon as I get Harrison in here, we're going to go to Adrian Dittman. It was not Elon Musk to talk to us here. So that Adrian Dittman, who is not Elon Musk, can speak about any topic he wants. So this is the unprecedented raping of the American people. This is absolute total tyranny.
You don't get to decide who you want to represent you, Alex.
This is absolutely totally insane. So we're simulcasting spaces. And we got Chase Geiser in there simulcasting. We've got Adrian Dittman, who's not Elon Musk. Let's just be totally clear about that. And to get his take on this. So let's go to Chase Geiser right now. Chase, Adrian Dittman is on our spaces right now. Can you go to him? Yeah, feed me. Chase Geiser, because I can't hear him.
Go ahead, Adrian. Say what you got to say.
Yeah, dude, actually, give me a second. I got some stuff.
All right, we'll come back to Adrian Dittman here in a minute. So, Chase, what do you make of this historic moment?
Well, I'm really at a loss as to what to think. You know, I'm not surprised, but I'm still incredibly disappointed. I'm disappointed as if I was surprised. And I agree with everything that we've been talking about all day, Alex, from the beginning of your show on the Alex Jones Show, about how it's more important now than ever that we avoid falling victim of another false flag operation similar to what we saw with January 6th and how there was so much federal involvement. I'm really concerned that the New World Order globalists, political elite leftists, whatever you want to call them, are going to use this as an opportunity to make right-wing patriotic Americans look bad by catalyzing something or doing something.
And by the way, I mean, look, they're going to go after all the Republicans, all the populists. You've got Australia, you've got Brazil, you've got the EU going after Elon Musk. Ladies and gentlemen, if they can get Trump, they can get anybody. We are all in grave danger here.
I bet there's going to be 10,000 people outside Trump Tower probably within an hour showing support for Trump.
Absolutely. And Trump supporters, we're conservatives. We're not violent. I'm really worried about any false flags getting staged. We got to be really careful. We do not support violence. But the next move by the enemy would be that. Chase? Nope.
Yeah, I agree. We'll see if Adrian's ready yet. Adrian, are you ready to unmute yourself and chime in? Or do you need a few more minutes?
Yeah. Ready to go. Yeah, I mean, my opinion on this is largely neutral. I'd like to stay neutral on this. I know this is going to be heading towards the... Yeah, I mean, heading into the election, I think it's going to be next level chaos because this type of thing, we've seen this happen before, but unlike anything like this before. So when I look at this, I think immediately about the information warfare that's going to happen. So the next thing that we're going to see is actually a major acid test for, I think, the X platform. You're going to see huge chaos here personally, where a lot of people are going to try and spin things a certain way on both sides even. So that's kind of what I'm afraid of. I'm also afraid of the fact that some may try to incite violence. I really hope that no one's going to have, I really hope no one is going to be violent again this time, because it's something that I personally just don't want to see. And I don't think it's a way to solve this, because already there's a sentiment of civil war going on. It's like, whoa, you know, that is something that I don't think anyone would want to see. So largely I like to stay neutral on this. So it's actually quite difficult for me to speak on anything, because, you know, Yeah. And also given the fact that we're like, I don't know if Biden's going to win again. There may be a chance, but then you also have other people within the pipeline trying to say, okay, that's not the case. There's some cases to be made there. And so it's really, really confusing. The cognitive dissonance is just really tearing myself apart here.
Well, Adrian, I was just saying that before we connected to you, that the obvious next target would be Elon Musk and X. And you're saying you agree with that. So we have to rally behind X. This is a really pivotal moment right now.
I think we also have to be very responsible. Like when you're on X, for instance, try not to post anything that's like stupid or that is just blatantly wrong. This is something as well, because I mean, we do have free speech here. There's absolutely no doubt about that. Of course, there are instances where people go too far, and then you have certain policies that must be enacted, things that are illegal. And then of course, you have that be removed, which is perfectly fine. This is literally how the world works. You can say whatever you want, but the consequences will come a knocking. So, I think the biggest acid test for at least the people producing content will be trying to produce it in such a way that there's actually accountability ensured, right? I think a lot of people are already doing this, but there are some people here that are trying to stoke the fires of World War III mostly, so that will be another added vector of attack, especially for Elon. And I think those things may even become more intense as we go along, either by malicious intent or just because the engagement is amazing. So this is another thing. Like if you see something that is obviously trying to stoke violence, I'd stay away from that because that's not good for anyone. But like producing actual good information would be very nice. That would be really good.
No, I totally agree. I totally agree. I totally agree, Adrian. So you got the floor now. So looking at this, and what's happening, absolutely, the next card to play by the deep state would be provoking violence. The key is stopping that. What do you think people should do? Just dial back, be very relaxed, promote peace. What are you saying?
Just remain calm, man. Just remain calm. It's difficult to remain calm in all this, but try not to be violent. And I think the biggest problem is actually a conflict between sides here. There is obviously friction between sides, and there always will be, but I think maybe these sides can get together and agree upon a certain thing. It's like, okay, what do we stand to lose if any one of the two scenarios take place? Okay, what if Biden wins? Okay, what if Trump wins? This kind of thing. Or what if anyone else wins? What would this look like? We still have to wake up next morning one day and live with each other. So perhaps, trying not to be disgusted with one another is a start, because I've also seen this, immediately posts start coming up and people saying, this is going to be the end of everything. I was like, no. You're going to wake up the next morning. You still have a job there somewhere. You have to make sure that job is still there, because we are all trying to still live, right? And we shouldn't have an event like this determine, whether we wake up next morning and grab a gun, or whether we wake up next morning, grab the newspaper with a little coffee, read this stuff and say, this is interesting. This is entertaining. Okay, let's get to work and let's make some money,
Well, that was my next question. You raised it before I could, Adrian Dittman. Is World War III, Putin threatened 3 days ago, 4 days ago, you keep escalating, it's nuclear war, NATO's calling for conscription, moving nukes in. Adrian Dittman, you brought up World War III. Can you give us your take on that?
I think it's relatively unlikely that World War III would happen. I don't think it's in the best interest of anyone to have World War III. I think this is largely something where you have to think about this. I think even if, let's imagine for a second, hypothetically, there is a power in the world that we could call a deep state or a higher organization. I think it would be in the favor of this organization to at least, I think if you're smart enough, you'd realize that there is a folly in being a king without a kingdom. And so I don't think that there's something this drastic would happen. It doesn't make any logical sense, but that's just my opinion, right? I don't know anything. These are just opinions. These are just thought experiments. These are not facts. They're just thoughts, theories.
Gestalt experiments. So how do you, if you were advising Trump, which I know Elon is, he listens to the show. If Elon was advising Trump, what would he be telling Trump to do right now?
I have absolutely no idea. I have absolutely no idea. I wouldn't know where to start with that. I've considered this thought. It's like, what would he do? But, I mean, I don't know. Perhaps border security, that would be something. I'd assume because, I mean, you can look at Elon's timeline and see what he usually tries to draw attention to. And I think that would be one of the top ones, at least. Yeah.
Well, Adrian, we appreciate your time. Skip this break. Skip the network break. It doesn't matter. Just skip it. Adrian, you're a smart guy. Everybody loves following you and everything. I'm going to just shut up instead of me asking questions. What do you want to impart to the viewers here? You know, there's hundreds of thousands watching now. Millions will watch later when I post this on X. What do you want to say to the public? Let's not exaggerate. Elon predicted when I was on with him on the spaces, we'd have 20 million views. He got 30 million views. 5 million people will watch this right now. What does Adrian Dippin want to say to 5 million people?
Jesus Christ, right? You're really putting me on the spot here. Just remain calm, honestly. That would be my message. Just remain calm and try to learn as much as possible. And honestly, don't immediately go with we're going to have to fight everyone, because I don't think that's productive at all. And for at least the people who are going to manufacture content on X, it's like, don't make any incitements, in my opinion. It's just unnecessary. But that's just me. You know, don't follow anything that I say. Everybody should make up their own mind. That's just me.
What do you gut level, Adrian? Adrian, what do you gut level think this will do to Trump? I think it's going to boost him even more. The deep state thought this would hurt him. I think it's going to boost him. What do you think?
I mean, there's a possibility that this would boost him. We have always theorized of, you know, actions such as these turning this person into a martyr. I don't think it will technically destroy him, but I mean, who knows? I know nothing about his psychological makeup or, you know, what this would do to the sentiment of the people. But I mean, it is what it is. I guess we'll see in a couple of days what that impact is going to look like. However, I kind of want to throw it to someone who I know. Hey, Stock Talks, you want to give some thoughts on this? Because he's actually pretty cool. I like this guy. He usually looks at the market. I'm pretty sure he could potentially give an angle on that. What do you think?
No, Adrian, you always make great points. Just in the time you have, I got to go. Anything else you'd like to points with, that I'm not asking, because I want to hear what Adrian Dittman has to say. Everybody wants to hear what you have to say. What else would you tell people?
Honestly, not that much. You'd be able to ask me a few questions, yeah.
Well, as somebody who's trying to stay neutral, let me ask you.
Here's Owen Stroyer. Go ahead.
As somebody who's trying to stay neutral, how does this decision today impact you?
Economically, it impacts me economically, I think, because this is one of those things which heavily shifts sentiment into various directions. I'm not sure which direction exactly, so that's something that still needs to be figured out. But this impacts everyone economically, at least. So even if you don't have any political opinions whatsoever, any decision that is political will affect you in some capacity. Now, of course, you can make economic decisions to essentially defend yourself against what I would call a difficulty adjustment wavefront, which is what a sentiment shift looks like. But just that's the only thing that I really focus on. This is also why primarily I focus on tech, because I don't like to be offensive, which is when you get into the sphere of politics and you have opinions on this and you start to try and create sentimental vibe shifts within that sphere. I think that's kind of like offensive. I like to be more defensive, neutral, and just stay in a base, so to speak. And that is basically tech and looking at it economically as opposed to just, you know, politically.
So no political shift in your perspective here after this decision today. More support, less support, Trump, Biden.
I think he's saying he's going to see what happens. He doesn't know yet. Let me ask you this, Adrian. Looking at this with 158 days out from the election, regardless, you nailed it. The threat of violence, the threat of it being stirred up or people actually doing it, I think that's king. What do you think, looking at the establishment, which I know is a diverse group, they seem to think they can get power out of a crisis. If you were talking to the establishment right now, which is a diverse group, what would you tell them?
I don't know, man. Just keep doing what you're doing. I don't really have much of an interest in that. Everybody can do what they want. Everyone has free will. And reality itself just operates in a very specific way. You know, this is the kind of stuff where it's like, okay, ask, what would you do if you had ultimate control? You know, I think this is kind of the question you'd ask. What if you had ultimate control? Because that's what that boils down to.
You're saying ask them what they want. That's genius. What do they want? Okay, so say that. We've gone to their leader. What do you want?
Absolutely nothing. No wars. That would be one thing. I don't like that type of conflict, but you can't exactly assure that, because humans are always going to fight each other at some point or another. And, you know, this is like differences. Not one. I don't think actually one group is in charge of everything. Otherwise, things would look vastly different. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. I don't know. It's a chess game. It's just like a 5D chess game, and nobody really has an idea of what's going on. Maybe some people do. Maybe you're looking at it from a top-down perspective, and you're the initiator of the game or the referee. Who knows? No, I don't know. So asking me this doesn't really
matter. No, I agree with you. So what I'm asking is, if there's a bunch of different power elites, they don't really even have a consensus. So how do you even communicate with them? I mean, how do we say, you said, what do they want? I agree. Do they even know what they want?
I think everybody knows what they want, especially them. I just don't know about the execution. Right now we're witnessing the execution essentially of some sort of idea, and then we're trying to infer whatever the idea is exactly. So I don't think we can actually make an accurate assessment on that, which is why this is so difficult to answer.
No, I totally agree. So let me ask you this. Go ahead.
By the way, to the previous remark of remaining calm, I actually like to refer back to something that happened, not so long ago. I still remember when the solar eclipse happened, right? Everybody's panicking, thinking the world was going to end. I think we're seeing an echo of this today, right here. You know, oh, we think the world's going to end. We think there's going to be massive chaos. Maybe there's going to be a little chaos somewhere. But honestly, I would look at it the same way. I would look at it the exact same way. Just look at it, see what you can do. Let it pass, finish. You know, that's what it is. Because this is out of your control most of the time anyways, except for voting, out of which I will stay away from that. Like, this is the line I draw. Beyond that, I don't go. Just out of principle.
Well, I mean, I think you made the point that the globalists, the elites, act like they're unified. They're not. And it is an important question to ask, what do they want? Because if you look at Klaus Schwab resigning and Melinda Gates resigning and 1,000-plus CEOs the last month resigning, this happened right before COVID and right before 2008. What does Adrian Dittman think about the record level of resignations from the establishment? I mean, what does that signify?
I don't know, maybe a bit of a shift in tactic, perhaps. You know, if you see a particular path not working out properly, I too would say, okay, you know what, let's try a little something different. Let's try and, you know, move away from that. You know, maybe there's an intention there. I just don't know. I just couldn't tell you. It's an interesting shift for sure. You know, people resign for all kinds of reasons. Why exactly that they did that is as good a guess as mine. I just don't know. I just couldn't tell you.
But that's really your genius, is you don't project a made up belief. You make them say what their belief is, and they don't have one. They don't have a plan. And that's what you say, give me your plan, and they actually don't have one. They'll oppose our plan, which is prosperity and freedom and space exploration and everything else.
Maybe they do have a plan. I think everybody actually has a plan. You know, this is the thing. Everybody wants to get to a certain point. Everyone has their version of what prosperity looks like, and everyone kind of has their own version on how to execute upon that idea. Right. So the plan, of course, is there, but it's more like there isn't the plan, but there is a goal, and there are multiple plans to try and reach that goal. And I think that goal is perhaps even prosperity. Just some things get lost in execution, perhaps. But other than that, that's what I'm trying to say with the plans. Like, it's everyone has one. It's not that there isn't one, you know, or that at least there isn't one in particular. It's more like the goal that one should be focusing on and how you get there. That I think is the primary issue.
All right, at Adrian Dittman, in closing, any other points you want to make? Because we're not cutting you off. We'll keep going. That's fine. We just respect your time. I think this is going to boost Trump, and I'm wondering what some of the embedded – we know this. The so-called Democratic Party is a joke. Everybody hates them. They're emblematic of America's failures, which is not even all their fault. I'll just say that. But I think it's a fair statement to say they're done with the public, and everything they do turns to crap now. I don't see how they extricate themselves from this, and they just seem to keep doubling down. What would your advice be to the Democratic Party?
Absolutely no advice whatsoever. Again, like, I only make commentary. I have no advice for anyone.
What would your advice be? You don't give advice, but for the average person, what would you do as a person, just a father or a mother, what would you do?
I don't know. I think that kind of depends on the individual. I really don't know. Personally, I've, you know, secure yourself economically, but that looks different for everyone. So I wouldn't be able to make any comments on that. What you would do individually, I just simply don't know.
Everyone, sure, because you don't have the intelligence. You don't have the intel of each person. That's actually a first statement. Like, the left tells us how to live our lives. They don't know.
Jesus. Yeah. I don't know everything.
Do you think? So you think World War III will be averted? Adrian Dittman, what's your view on the future of the dollar or Bitcoin?
The future of the dollar? I don't think it will disappear. It may shift into something more digital, for sure. I think that would be I think that could be something that's scalable. Right now, we're using the dollars if it was digital anyways. I mean, the most of the money, I think, even moves only via digital as opposed to physical, because it doesn't make any sense anymore. So I think it would have a shift to something that is more digital, for sure. As for Bitcoin, I mean, there's a chance. I mean, it could be institutionalized, I think, which is kind of ironic because it somewhat runs contrary to the idea of what Bitcoin essentially is. But at this moment, I think the biggest struggle for what Bitcoin is actually creating a market in which only Bitcoin is being used to trade. So, for instance, right now we are measuring the value of Bitcoin by how much fiat it equates to. This is, I think, a kind of a fallacy, because if you want there to be a true currency, then you say, okay, this is the actual value. The currency is the value of utility, right? So, for instance, if I have some sort of thing that I'm trying to sell you, be it hardware, software, anything, if there's a certain amount of Bitcoin that's worth, then now you have Bitcoin as actual currency, as opposed to saying, okay, that's how much the hardware is worth, this much in fiat, thereby I must give you this much in Bitcoin, right? That's the difference. That's what you'd have to essentially establish. I think this will happen largely naturally, but I also think that institutionalization will happen for Bitcoin. I think people are taking a large interest in it because it's basically digital gold. And I think as we're moving towards something that's more of an information-based economy, we're also going to move to something that is stored in bits as opposed to just actual physical gold, because, I mean, that seems to be the current shift of things anyways. But I don't think the dollar will disappear. I think that's unlikely, but that's just my opinion.
Well, we're going to let you go. We know you're busy, but last question, because you're quite the buff on Elon Musk, and I am too. I hear Elon Musk say in 20 years we could be on Mars with bases, or even sooner. If you look at exponential technology development, if we actually invest in something, it actually happens every time. Humans are incredible. I see that actually as a pessimistic goal. If we actually had goals, we could probably do it in 10 years just because we could do anything we want. What do you think overall of why Elon Musk has been so successful with his rocketry and his space exploration? And people say, well, why do we invest in Mars? Well, because it invests in us. The whole technological revolution we live under was, you know, NASA's experiment. So I'm fully behind space exploration. We're pioneers. I want undersea exploration, everything. Well, what is your view on Elon Musk and SpaceX and where that's going? And how do you support that? Or how does the public, if you do support it, supercharge it as a goal?
I think there's not much that can be done to supercharge it, perhaps, except for, you know, talking about it. It's actually funny that not many people know about SpaceX or what Starship is and what that means. You know, whenever, you know, the rocket, this big rocket goes up and it blows up, it's people think, oh, it's a failure. No, that's how you gather knowledge. That's how you gather intel. You have to understand how the system works, and that's just experimentation. You know, it's like saying, oh, the light bulbs failed. No, it just created different versions of light bulbs, and this one happened to work the best. You know, it's like what Edison would do. So in this case, you know, people should look into it more and think, oh, this is awesome. Just keep it in their mind somewhere and say, yes, this is happening. We're going to be spacefaring civilization at some point. I think by and large, many people often think about Star Wars or Star Trek, and they think, hey, I kind of want parts of that future to be here on Earth with us now. So if you want that to be the case, then I think that's something you should look into, because, you know, space exploration is vastly important to humanity, not just from the perspective of spreading civilization to other planets, but also to, you know, mine resources more effectively, because you can then tap into something like the asteroid belt, and that, I think, would spare Earth quite a lot of the destructive mining, right? Because you kind of want this place to be a sanctuary, as opposed to, you know, just exploiting it and potentially creating environmental damages, of course.
Well, I definitely agree with that. I mean, space is unlimited. That's where we got to go. It's like getting out of the baby crib and learning to walk or crawl. We've got to do it. How do people follow you, Adrian Dittman?
Follow me? Well, we're at Radio X. Just Radio X. By the way, just for a bit of a personal clarification, I am not Elon Musk. Just for people to understand this, I'm also not his alt account. This would actually be, I think if I was his alt account, that would be, create so many difficulties. That doesn't make any sense. You'd think that the smartest person, you know, well, the, actually, I would say the most successful person, you know, on Earth, by money, at least by achievements and just by sheer impact alone, would be smart enough to not speak with his own voice on space.
Oh, you're right. Nobody famous wants a gnome to play him. Nobody wants, we get it. But at the same time, where are you from then? Because you sound just like Elon Musk. Where are you from, Adrian?
He's from Mars also.
Oh, wow. He's from Mars also. Yeah, wow. Wow. Thanks for that one. He's from Mars also. Yeah, no. I was originally German, so yeah.
All right.
I grew up a lot in English-speaking countries. That shapes quite a lot of, you know, the speech patterns, essentially. Right? So it's like a weird mix and such. So, yeah.
Yeah, we understand. We get it. You're not Elon Musk. Well, yeah. We like what Elon's doing, so thank you very much, Adrian Devin. All right, we got Viva Fry there. I'm not going to tell people inside baseball. I'm just going to stop right now. But what a genius plan. Like, you know, this guy that's not Elon Musk can just say all this stuff on air and then just do all this. And people that don't know it's Elon Musk because he's not. I can tell you right now, it's not him.
Imagine if somebody had a anonymous Twitter account and sounded exactly like Alex Jones, but it wasn't Alex Jones.
Well, that could be AI, but it's not. It's not. I just Elon lives here in town. I'll leave it at that. I know a little bit about it. So everybody keeps asking, is Elon Musk? It's definitely not. And this is not Mr. Rose right here. This is not Mr. Schroyer. All right, Mr.
Are you going to take not Elon's advice, Alex, and remain calm?
No, before he came on, I was saying with you, their biggest thing, they're going to try to stage something. I can feel it. Viva Fry, who's always not a lawyer, but he is a lawyer. Your take on this, 34 counts, all of it, what do you say?
I'll say I was right in my prediction, and unhappily so.
You did predict yesterday he'd be convicted.
Oh, no, I predicted it before the trial, and then I attenuated it because I said the trial went so badly, there's no way. There's a little bit of an increase in likelihood of a hung jury. They've crossed another Rubicon. I was thinking about it. I was driving. I just got new glasses, and I hope they don't look too communist. I'm driving. No, they're not bad, but I'm driving. And it's like, I'm not angry. I'm not enraged. I'm just disappointed the way you're disappointed in your children, your friends, when they betray you, and you trusted them, or at least you thought they would do the right thing. It's a joke. It's an absolute joke. The timing of it is a joke. They squeaked in this conviction the week or two before SCOTUS is going to rule on immunity, which might have an impact on this. They squeak this in right at the same time they're running an all-out PR war against conservative SCOTUS judges and their wives or their spouses about how they're politically biased, presumably because we know where that immunity case is going to go and it might have an impact on this. But it's just the next level of the Rubicon that they're crossing, and there's only one more after this. And I don't even like thinking about it. I know you've suggested it. Tucker's been talking about it. There's only one other Rubicon to cross here. They say we're not Russia, we're not Putin, we don't jail our adversaries. Trump is the one, if he gets in office, he's going to politically persecute
his ideology. It's imprisonment or assassination.
Well, and I had another theory, like maybe they're going to try to, you know, if they're going to do a false flag or someone's retaliating against this, that would be a way of getting Biden off the ticket and then framing it so they can go after Trump even more and whatever. But the problem is there's no bottom to this depths of depravity to which the political left is sinking.
That's the key. Once you go into tyranny, there's no limit, whether it's Soviet, Nazi, communist, Maoist, exactly. Once you, and you've been sitting back, Brian Rose, being very, very calm, you're a smart guy, there is no depth to that. I mean, there's no bottom.
Yeah, no, and it's like, it's in your face. They're mocking people with what they're able to do. You get Michael Cohen on Twitter now, rejoicing. The man who admitted to more crimes in his testimony, who committed more crimes during his testimony.
He stole money. He admitted he stole money.
Grand larceny. Structuring the crime so that he didn't flag the bank by taking out more than the daily threshold of cash. And committed perjury on the stand. And he's rejoicing. Literally, I don't follow the Bible, but I know of the verses. It's good versus being evil and evil being framed as good. I mean, I can't get over it. You knew it was going to happen. The judge put all the ingredients to yield this result.
Yeah, what about that? What about the jury admonishment? And then give me your take. And I want Brian to pop in here. And Owen, what is the reaction going to be? I mean, gut level, I say this makes Trump's more powerful. I mean, in fact, there's no doubt that I'm not just sure. I know. Like that, this is not going to work.
No, there's no question. This is a wake up call. The problem is It's doing irreparable damage to the fabric of this country. You can never.
Neither, sorry to interrupt you. We got Alvin Bragg, the turdlet, speaking. We'll go back to you in 2 minutes. Everybody should follow. We love you. Stay there. We're not interrupting. We're sorry. We had a guy that was not Elon Musk earlier, so I made you wait. Not Elon Musk. Trust me. I don't know anybody around in Austin. Look, go ahead. Okay. Go back to the thing. Go ahead.
Good evening. First and foremost, I want to thank the jury for its service. Jurors perform a fundamental civic duty.
Who passed on this
Their
case.
Service is literally the cornerstone of our judicial system. We should all be thankful for the careful attention that this jury paid to the evidence and the law and their time and commitment over these past several weeks. 12 everyday New Yorkers, and of course, our alternates, heard testimony from 22 witnesses, including former and current employees of the defendant, media executives, book publishers, custodians of records, and others. They reviewed call logs, text messages, and emails. They heard recordings. They saw checks and invoices, bank statements, and calendar appointments. This type of white-collar prosecution is core to what we do at the Manhattan District Attorney's Office. In the 1930s, District Attorney Thomas Dewey ushered in the era of the modern, independent, professional prosecutor. For now nearly 90 years, dedicated professionals in this office have built upon that fine tradition. A major part of our practice during that nearly 90 years has been public integrity work, including cases involving jurists, local and state electeds, public servants, and others. I want to thank this phenomenal prosecution team, embodying the finest traditions of this office, professionalism.
This is a soft admission that the whole purpose of this case was to get Trump. That's what you're witnessing here. This is a soft admission that the whole purpose was to get Trump, and he's basically admitting it, saying, "Thank you, we did it." This is incredible.
The 12 everyday jurors vowed to make a decision based on the evidence and the law.
This is his victory.
Evidence and the law alone. Their deliberations led them to a unanimous conclusion beyond a reasonable doubt that the defendant, Donald J. Trump, is guilty of 34 counts of falsifying business records in the first degree to conceal a scheme to corrupt the 2016 election.
Oh, my God. Yeah, something that happened before he even announced he was running.
Maybe unlike any other in American history, we arrived at this trial and ultimately today at this verdict in the same manner as every other case that comes through the courtroom doors, by following the facts and the law and doing so without fear or favor. I want to conclude by expressing deep gratitude to the NYPD and the officers.
Oh, they love the police now.
The officers of the Office of Court Administration for securing the courthouse, all of our safety, making sure that the courthouse and all of the other matters that are important in their own right.
New York City just seamlessly riddled with crime and violence.
They will continue to be and have always been incredible partners. Thank you.
All right. Lot to respond here. Brian Rose in studio, Viva with us as well. I mean, Viva, did you hear that? Like, I heard that. That was a victory lap. That was him coming out and admitting that we just rigged the case against Trump. Let's shake hands. Let's congratulate ourselves.
It's not the first time when Hochul literally came out and said, "Don't worry, businesses, don't flee New York after the Engeron case. This can only happen to Trump," basically, is what she said. They're saying the quiet part out loud. This is the abusive spouse rubbing the injury in the face of the person he abuses. Like, look what we got away with. Oh yeah, they listened to witnesses. One of whom is a lying porn star who lies about lying. The other is a convicted perjurer, according to another New York judge, who chose to believe the convicted perjurer, who lied on the stand, admitted to crimes on the stand. And those are the two star witnesses to draw the connection to make this what would otherwise be a time-lapsed misdemeanor into a 34-charge felony. And they keep saying 34 charges, guilty on all counts. If they were going to find him guilty on one, they were going to find him guilty on all 34 because they are all iterations of the same alleged scheme. Signing the check, signing the ledger, entering it in the books. It's a steaming load of crap. And there was a glint of optimism that I had that you'd have the two lawyers on the jury or two people on the jury, one who would not be so politically prejudiced they would jump on this lynch mob. But no, they couldn't help themselves. The judge did everything he could to facilitate this outcome. It's beyond question to some extent that it gets overturned in appeal. It's questionable as to whether or not the immunity coming out of the SCOTUS ruling is going to impact this. But they've got the headlines and they're going to run with them until they're blue in the face for however long they have this headline to run with, and even beyond, because he did get convicted. Even if it gets overturned, they got the headline they wanted.
Well, this is what's so crazy. I mean, let's just be real about it. So Trump's big flaw of 77 years on this earth, I guess he slept with Stormy Daniels. I mean, that's the big thing. Like, that's no, what they're going to do.
Owen, it doesn't even matter if he slept with her, that he did or he didn't. That's the issue about the unduly prejudicial testimony from Stormy Daniels. It doesn't matter whether he did or did not sleep with her, how big his wee-wee is, whether or not he wore a condom, what she was thinking when she was having sex with yet allegedly another person in her illustrious career. It didn't matter. But they brought her testimony on to prejudice the jury. He could or could not have had sex with her. Irrelevant. The monies went to her at the end of the day. The only question was it part of a deal that Donald Trump structured for an NDA? And then the question is, even if it was, it's still not a crime. John Edwards set that precedent however many, you know, a decade and a half ago. So it was only a question of whether or not that payment was part of a structure that Trump orchestrated and ordered in that 86-second call that the convicted liar and admitted criminal Michael Cohen says Trump did when he called up to get the Secret Service to look into a 14-year-old kid who was pranking him. It's a joke. But it's destroying the – I mean, I guess New York is going to get what it deserves because people are going to leave that hellhole. And I said it – I tweeted it back when Engoron's decision came out. Get the heck out of New York. Yeah. Hashtag get out of New York.
Any
I
blue
retweeted
city.
That tweet now.
Yeah, and my point is that there is so nothing on Donald Trump that for 8 years they dig and all they can get is something with Stormy Daniels. Like, that's it. That's all they can get on the guy.
And they looked into this, whether or not it was election campaign contribution violations. They looked into this. It wasn't. Alvin Bragg, who's now commending his corrupt system, chose to decline this case back in the day, but brought it back up. Soros funded Alvin Bragg. Corrupt Judge Juan Marchand. Political operatives Michael Cohen, who's making millions off of this. Stormy Daniels, who has made over $1 million off of this, who has been circumventing monies that she owes to Donald Trump by structuring her Netflix deal in a way that doesn't allow the money to flow through her so she doesn't have to pay it to Trump. The criminals are on the stand, and the criminals are convicting an innocent person, and these Democrat idiots are sitting around clapping because they don't understand the hell that they are ushering in.
Well, that's what tyrants always do. When they're desperate, they don't think of second, third, fourth order. Brian Rose, you've been very polite here, not talking. You're a smart guy. What's your take on all this?
It's just hard to watch Bragg say all that with a straight face, and it's hard to believe that anybody around him believes anything he says. It's just shocking just to see it all happen. It's pure farce. It's pure theater.
It is surreal.
And it's happening right in front of our faces. You know, earlier, I think Stone was talking about a Madison Square Garden rally. I feel like if that actually happened, I don't know how you would stop that from becoming some type of a tinderbox for New York City. I live there, and it seems like tensions would be running very high right now. Obviously, your callers are very passionate, and it just seems like a very dangerous moment right now. Obviously, next actions are really important.
We got to be very calm.
Yes.
I would, if I was Trump, though, I'd try. I'd have a rally as soon as possible. I'd use this momentum to fill. I would. I'd fill Madison Square Garden.
He's right. You're right. I would say that too. But they are going to target that. He has to do it quick because the deep state's slow. Though.
That's what I'm saying. I'd do it like right now. Like I'd be on the phone. When can we get Madison Square Garden? Let's do it and just hit it while the iron's hot.
2 days from now.
I'd do it as soon as possible.
What they've managed to do now, they've criminalized, or at the very least ostensibly criminalized, the right to protest, the right to gather. Because of what they've done with January 6th, they have now deterred everybody from gathering peacefully because they know they run the risk of having that retrospectively, retroactively turned into something it wasn't. They're criminalizing freedom. and they're destroying the country while purportedly upholding the Constitution with a capital C. It's demon stuff like I've never thought I'd ever seen.
No, I totally agree. Viva Fry, great job. Join us tomorrow. We're going to end this transmission. We're all going to shoot live videos, recorded videos, 4X on Owen's channel. I would imagine Brian Rose is going to do one. I'm going to do one. Let's all do one together at kind of an after game here. And then tomorrow, 8 a.m. Harrison Smith, 11 a.m. Alex Jones, 3 p.m. Owen Schroyer. Pray for America. Pray for the world. This is a historic moment. Brian, your video is streaming on X right now. Your new incredible film, We Will Not Be Silenced. Please get that out.
Thank you, Alex. It's been an epic day.
Epic day. Thank you, crew. Great job. Thank you to the whole crew. And they're trying to shut us down right now as well, folks. This is not a game. Imperial troops have entered the base. What's going down right now? Pray for freedom right now. Yeah, stream his final statement.
This was a rigged trial by a conflicted judge who was corrupt. It's a rigged trial, a disgrace. They wouldn't give us a venue change. We were at 5% or 6% in this district, in this area. This was a rigged, disgraceful trial. But the real verdict is going to be November 5th by the people. And they know what happened here, and everybody knows what happened here. You have a Soros-backed DA and the whole thing. We didn't do a thing wrong. I'm a very innocent man, and it's okay. I'm fighting for our country. I'm fighting for our Constitution. Our whole country is being rigged right now. This was done by...